Blog Talk Radio.
Even in the ring?
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chang.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
In the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Even in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room, and if you look on there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a special Friday night edition of the Leave It in the Ring radio show. I'm David Chen, and I believe we got our host, 97 Ruff, on the line. How you doing, brother?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
All right. We also got Chris Herrera out of Sacramento.
916 in the house.
916 in the house.
Always.
Real quick, Dave, I want to make a plug. Just a reminder for everybody, on the 28th of November at the Spotlight 29 Casino in Coachella, California, Champion Promotions will be hosting an event called Clash of the Gladiators featuring some of the local professional fighters. So keep an eye out for more information on our website in the coming weeks.
Sounds
Dave,
good,
man. Hachi Palace event.
It was, you know what? It was really, really good. I'm a little out of it today because it didn't finish till late, and then, you know, mingling and still trying to make, you know, more connections so that we can keep producing the stuff that we do. I stuck around and chopped it up with a few people and got a couple of numbers so that, you know, we can get these guys on the radio show. So I got home, I think about 8 in the morning.
Man.
And I haven't slept.
Aren't we having one of the heavyweight guys on from last night, Manuel Quezada?
You know what? We were supposed to have him on, but I've been running around trying to get things up, trying to get these articles back up and stuff that I didn't have a chance. So, you know, Mario, hopefully just send him the number. They do know the number, you know, to call in. But if not, you know, we'll get him on. We'll get him on, definitely. I can just hang up, honestly, and call him right now and matter of fact, let me just do that. Let me hang up right now, guys. I know we got blood on the line and strike cards, so I'm pretty sure you guys can strike up an interesting conversation while I make a quick phone call.
Blood strike cards, how you guys doing?
What's up?
I'm actually pretty sick myself, so I'm hanging in there.
From what? You were just here, like, yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I woke up and my voice is completely just gone. It's one of those deals where when I swallow, I pay for it dearly with lots of pain and got a little bit of a fever. But, hey, man, I worked all day, and here I am now, so you can't stop me. You can slow me down a little bit, though.
That's what you get for spitting that venom about Manny Pacquiao beating Cotto.
I guess so. I guess that's what I get.
Yeah, man.
You guys hear Edison Miranda came back and took his man out in the first round. He just had a small fight yesterday, I think.
Yeah, I heard that he knocked the dude out. I heard he hit the dude with a hella shot, man. I heard the guy he fought hit him with a pretty good shot, though. He hit Edison Miranda with a pretty good shot. I didn't see the fight, but I heard he hit Miranda with a good shot. And then Miranda landed, you know, he knew he had a fight in his hands and tried to get him out of it real quick and did it.
Man, Miranda looks real bad sometimes. He's kind of inconsistent, but the potential is there, and he's over there at the 10 Goose gym, you know, with Dan Goosen, and he's doing good things apparently. I mean, if he can put all that power together, I mean, he'll be a threat to anybody. So, I mean, there might be a chance that, you know, over the next year and a half, he might make an appearance in the super middleweight division. You know, you never know, because this thing is going to go on for a while in the tournament. You know what I mean?
Real tall. I heard that he was selling out, saying that he wants to be in the super middleweight tournament, and that he needs to take Jermaine Taylor's place, and Jermaine Taylor shouldn't be in there. What y'all think about it?
No way.
Ruff is back on. Ruff, what do you think about Edison Miranda, man, taking Jermaine Taylor's place, possibly?
I think that's actually a really good idea, because he brings something to the table, you know. I mean, yeah, he lost against the top elite. He's already lost to Arthur Abraham. He got knocked out, and he was pretty much outboxed by Andre Ward. But now being under the tutelage of the Goosens, you know, you could see. Last night I was able to see him do things that he normally wouldn't do. You know, he was using the jab to fill out his opponent. He was being very patient, calm, you know, and when he needed to release that right hand, he did it at the perfect moment. You know, it was not rushed. So immediately after him knocking out Ponchito, that was the guy, Ponchito Sierra, I ran up to the ring with the camera, and I asked him in Spanish, you know, why did it take him so long? Because it was like 2 minutes into the round. I actually got it. It was actually 2 minutes and 16 seconds in the first round when he knocked out Francisco Ponchito Sierra. And it was a pretty nasty knockout. It was one of those delay knockouts where when the guy got hit, he just slowly just fell like a tree. You know, you could have said, timber! The guy just went down and just fell asleep, man. You know, he looked like a newborn baby just laying there. So when I came up to Miranda, I said, you know, right after him, you know, he was saying, you know, it was a joke when I was telling him, because it was 2 minutes in the round. He was like replying to me saying, you know, I've been working real hard trying to brush up my boxing skills. I'm listening to people, you know, and they're saying that, you know, I need to brush up my skills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I said, what's next? Who would you want? And he said, I'd like to replace Jermaine Taylor. Don't think Jermaine Taylor should be in the ring anymore, you know. And immediately I was like, he goes, if not, he goes, I want Alan Green. Then I said, what about Paul Williams? If Paul Williams was willing to jump up, or maybe you guys meet somewhere, since, you know, he don't have a fight himself. And he just was not interested in that. He said, really, I'm not interested in fighting Paul Williams. I really don't care about fighting him. Who is he? And
well,
I was thinking,
say the same thing about Edison Miranda, I guess.
Yeah.
You could say the same thing about Edison Miranda, you know, but in his mind, he's a superstar.
Who, Miranda?
You know? Miranda. You know what I mean? And a lot of people's minds, I mean any fighter in their mind, they're superstars, okay? They were looking for the area code 661, okay? And that's going to be the heavyweight Manuel El Toro Quesada. And
yeah, bro,
he had a great victory.
We don't got him yet, but we do have our friend Rob Riddler from Puerto Rico. Let's get Rob on the line.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
What's going on, Riddler?
What's up, everybody, man? I'm up with Ruff right here, man. I haven't slept in a little while, a few hours, because an explosion went on in my house, like around the block or some shit. I haven't slept like in 20 hours.
Explosion? Explain yourself.
No, there was like a big gas tank or like some plant or something like that, and all those chemicals exploded, and like right behind my block, there's like a big ass mushroom cloud going up, and I can't fucking sleep at all.
See, I saw some people were just celebrating because Kermit Cintron is going back to Puerto Rico.
Oh no! Everybody was. That was a screaming that was going on in terror. That was a screaming, but the explosion, I don't know what happened. Maybe somebody just got pissed that he was fighting here. On the quick note, Daniel Santos apparently went to a conference that Cintron had and started some beef and called him out. So I don't know.
I mean, I guess you guys are not cool with Cintron anymore.
No, nobody likes Cintron.
But who do you guys like? Because you guys don't like nobody. You guys don't like Cotto. You guys like Quintana?
We in love with Juanma right now. That's mini Tito. That's mini Tito. That's the new.
Looks
that's
like
the new
he's
guy.
Trying to get himself knocked out in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, he really carries, because Cotto really does it for himself. I mean, you can see in the HBO, like, it seems like he's being forced to do that, but he really does it for himself. Juanma is like, you know, Viva Puerto Rico and all that, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of Tito, but he's more like that, so he gets carried into the, you know, the young kids and all that stuff, so. Cotto, everybody just, I don't know why everybody just doesn't like Cotto. I really don't know why.
I mean, is it his image? Is there something part, you know, is it like his style? You know, is the whole tatted up, rough look, is that not what they are into in Puerto Rico?
No, he's just like a lone wolf type of thing. You know, people over here, everybody's really nice. Everybody's like, it's like a real approachable type personality around here that goes with the people. And Cotto doesn't really, he gives off that, don't approach me, you know, I'll beat your ass look, you know, like he just stares everybody down, and I guess people don't like it, and, you know, he gets hurt a lot, he's vulnerable, so then they just jump on him more, and, you know, like all the other Puerto Rican stars that were loved really, really hung on to their people, as of where Cotto seems to just be himself, like, just by himself.
What are they? They're on his uncle's side in that whole feud.
Yeah, like it's like they don't even care if you're humble. Like if you're like to him, to the people here, he's just like he's humble, but he's like a jackass at the same time. Like, you know, nobody really just I'm more of a fan of Cotto than I could ever be for Tito. You know, I feel more attached to watching a Cotto fight than I would a Tito fight. But you know, I don't know. It's just. I don't understand it really. I just it's something, some type of emotional thing with that the Puerto Rican people have with our fighters that, you know, sometimes we like them and sometimes we hate them. Not too many like Camacho.
Huh.
So yep, that's just it. Explosions, no sex, and yep, that's it. Pissing.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard about, you know, Timothy Bradley and Peterson having their press conference over there in Aguascalientes, and it's going to be set to in December for these guys to step into the ring and mix it up a little bit. I think this is a pretty tough match for these two guys. Honestly, it's a pretty even match, even though Peterson is the young buck. But in my opinion, man, this is a real dangerous match for Bradley to step in with and stuff. I'll go with Strikeheart. What do you think about this match?
My one thought is that Timothy Bradley took a little bit of a setback fighting somebody maybe more on his experience level. But it's definitely an even match. I would just say that maybe this is evidence that he doesn't want no piece of a vet right now. Maybe he wants to take somebody who has, if not as little experience as he does, maybe even just a tiny bit less, which is what he's doing. So, but it's definitely an even fight. So,
yeah,
I definitely think
fight because, you know, experience-wise, you got to admit, you know, Bradley does still have that amateur style. You know, he still has the style where he's going to shoot shine and pity pat, and really Peterson is a boxer himself, and I think it's going to be a chess match. It's two guys that have, you know, extensive, decorated amateur background that I think it's going to be a pretty good even match, to tell you the truth. I really don't think anybody's going to have the edge. I think it's a tough call, you know. Before we keep going on, man, I want to give a shout-out, give a plug for lightsout.tv.com. It's a mobile website. It's actually really, really neat, man. If you haven't checked it out, get on the website or you know, and text it into the bar and put it lightsout.tv.com. And what it basically is you text in your number in there, and they'll automatically text you back, okay? And what they do is they send you back where you can look on your mobile phone. You can find what fights are happening, if you know, or let's say you're somewhere out in Egypt or whatever, and you want to see the fights. It's Saturday night. You know there's some fights on HBO. Boom. You could actually put in there, hey, nearest place to watch the fight, and it'll find you your location so you can see the fight, any pub, any bar, restaurant, whatever. So it's a pretty good gig, and it's also you can listen to the radio show, Leave It in the Ring. You can listen to other radio shows on there, and you can see other things, highlights of interviews and fights and whatnot on this
one site that's going to be to your mobile phone. So lightsout.tv. It's a great, great site. Check it out. Dave, we got him, man, you calling him yet, or we haven't got him through?
Not yet, man. I got my eye on it.
Hey, can I talk about this fight real quick, this Peterson Bradley?
Yeah, go for it, man. Shoot.
All right, to put some throw some water on Strikehart's fire, I believe Peterson's a mandatory. That's why Bradley's fighting him. You know, no other reason. I don't think he's, you know, it's a step down like he's looking to fight a lesser opponent. I think it's just for the title. I don't know why Peterson's a mandatory.
I don't understand why you guys are calling Peterson a lesser opponent. I mean, I think this is by far a dangerous opponent. I mean, this is not a guy that's going to really – I mean, this is not a no-namer. This guy has got some dudes in there. I mean, why call him a lesser opponent?
I'm not calling him, like, an extreme lesser opponent. I just think maybe with pro experience, he's got, like, a tad bit less. That's all. Timothy Bradley's been in there with Kendall Holt. Timothy Bradley's been in there with, I mean, as much as you could put stock in Junior Witter, he's been in there with Junior Witter, too, and for a short time with Nate Campbell. I just don't think Lamont Peterson can really say that at this point. It's not that he's not good.
Timothy's got a little bit more
experience.
No, I agree with you on that point. Yeah, you could say that. But if you really look at that resume of names you just kind of threw out there about Timothy Bradley, you could kind of more or less agree that all those styles put together is not the same style of a Peterson.
Peterson is probably more what he's used to, really. That's like Timothy Bradley's bread and butter because these guys are both young. They're both coming out of the amateurs, so... If anything, this is more comfortable waters for him. He doesn't really have to look for any sneaky vet moves in the ring.
I'll tell you why I think this is a really interesting matchup. And being that Bradley, in his last previous fights, even with Nate Campbell and then Kendall Holt, he had to be the counterpuncher. This is a guy that really had to make sure that he allowed the opponent to step in order for him to kind of get his mix in and there and score points and stuff. Well, Peterson, I don't think... It's going to be the tables are going to kind of turn on that one. I think, you know, Bradley's going to have to be the stalker. He's going to have to be the aggressor. He's going to have to apply that pressure and try to land the shots because that's not Peterson's style. You know, I think this is going to be a great matchup. Chris, what do you think, man?
I don't know if it's going to be a great matchup because Peterson's he's definitely a pure boxer. He's skilled, but I don't know. Style-wise, if it's going to be too exciting, I don't know. It's hard to say, but, I mean, you made some great points about Peterson. The thing is, Timothy Bradley, before he fought Junior Witter, he was basically like, whoever heard of Timothy Bradley, you know, he got his title shot, and we never heard of him either, and look where he is now. So you could pretty much make a name overnight in this sport. Maybe Peterson will do that on Bradley, but I just haven't been overly impressed with either Peterson's level of opposition, and I haven't, like, seen any of his victories. I was like, damn, I can't wait to see him in against Timothy Bradley or the top of that division, so... You know, hopefully he'll put up a seriously competitive fight, but I'm not, like, clamoring to see this fight.
Who's going to say something right now? Somebody was going to say something.
I was just going to say that I think out of this fight, I think they can both learn from each other in the fight. I don't think it's going to be exciting, like, fight of the year type crap, but I think it's going to be good for them in experience when it comes to technique and, you know, using your skills in the ring and showing they can box, but it's not gonna show their full potential or anything like that. You know, I don't think there's too much in that division for them right now that can really bring.
Well, you know what? If anything, Rob, what this is gonna show is Peterson ready to step up and fight a world class fighter, and is Timothy Bradley's focus and determination at the level and where it needs to be at. Always at 20, you know what I mean? At 120, no matter who he fights. Because sometimes some champions will tend to fall to the level of their competition, you know? And this is a question of whether or not, and that's what I'm saying, I think Peterson's going to bring the best out. It's going to make him think a lot more than what he was used to doing against Nate Campbell and facing Kendall Holt, you know? Even with Junior Witter. Junior Witter could, you know, sometimes could be a cutie, but sometimes he was just a little more awkward where you had a time in certain different ways, where you got a classic boxer here, but Peterson, who's not going to make those flaws there. He's going to keep his schedule, and his schedule is the box and make sure he outpoints Bradley and out maneuvers him and uses the whole complete ring and makes sure he has that ring generalship. So that's why I'm thinking this is a great matchup for both these combatants because of the fact that this is a different type of mind frame of leveling and fighting when they step into the ring on that night. You know?
You see what it is, Ruff, is you can, you know, history tends to repeat itself time and time again. We see two young undefeated fighters. We've seen this with Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones years ago. We don't really know where these guys are going to go at this stage. And this is a fight right here that's going to give us like an idea of what's going on with these two young fighters. They could both end up being very great fighters. We don't know. That question mark is in the air. This is going to answer some questions for us. If they go in there and they have a good fight, we might have two very good fighters to look forward to in the future. If one of them blows out the other, then maybe we have some questions answered about where the loser is going and where the winner is going in this fight. Two undefeated fighters, we see this happened plenty of times before. We don't really know right now.
Does anyone know that a former light welterweight champ and contender, I guess you could call him now, Ricardo Torres is fighting at light middleweight now?
No, I haven't even heard about that. Where did you get this information from?
Because I got heard about what the fuck am I saying? I heard about I got heard about that. Anyway,
okay, go ahead. What you got heard about?
Too little sleep, but I heard about him winning his next fight at 154, and I was like, what, 154? So I look into it, apparently it was at 154. He got a knockout, like, in one of the last rounds, I think. But, I guess that just happens. I guess he couldn't get a fight or something, I don't know. But I was really hoping to see him against that dude. I don't know if his name is Madonna, Medina, whatever.
Madonna.
Yeah, that dude. I really want to see that matchup.
The one that fought Cotto and Kendall Holt, that guy?
Yeah, that dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He can't fit into the old junior middleweight, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, he must be fat like Eric Morales.
Well, you never know, man. I mean, you know, sometimes it's going to carry out in different ways. Could have went on his shoulders, could have went on his legs, you know, and his walk-around weight could have been there, you know. But is he going to perform at 154 with the same intensity that he was at his other weight? I don't think so. They're going to have to put him in with some slouches. That's what I think. You know,
he did have unusually heavy hands, like really, really heavy hands, and at light welterweight. Like I didn't that's rare to see somebody with that can end the fight so quickly. But you know, I was gonna ask Strikeheart who he thinks has the best headbutt in the business out of Bernard Hopkins, Kendall Holt, and Timothy Bradley.
Well, don't forget about Vander. Hey, you're leaving the Vander Holyfield out of the whole loop there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Holyfield's a king. He ain't considering Holyfield.
But he
he's
been out for a minute.
I would say Kendall Holt scoring that knockout off a headbutt, whether or not that was on purpose or accidental. I guess that has to take the cake because that wasn't something that was caught at the time, and that turned out to be a KO. So Timothy Bradley didn't really get away with his in this past fight, so I can't give it to him. I guess I'll have to go with Kendall Holt on that one.
But Bernard's got, like, a whole good career full of good headbutts, man.
Yeah, but Bernard got a good career of every dirty tactic in the book. I mean, that's Bernard Hopkins, and he makes it look beautiful when he does it. Every foul he commits is beautiful.
Hey, Dave Chen, let's find out and see. I know we got a caller on there. Let's see what their opinion is. Let's let somebody else from out of the loop, out of us, to see who they think it has the best headbutts in the business.
Caller from the area code 281, you're on the line, brother.
What's up? Y'all can hear me?
Yes, sir.
I can hear you, brother.
Man.
What's going on, man?
Ashy Knuckles, bro. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, Ashy?
Oh man, chilling. I heard your conversation, man. Yeah, Evander, he kind of pioneered the headbutt, but you can't forget about the boy, Casamayor. You know, can't nobody do it like Casamayor because he can do it and the ref never sees it. You know, he does it.
That's
after,
you know what? I didn't think about that one. Yeah, you're right. You're right. He's a pretty sneaky guy. But you know what? Casamayor, speaking about Casamayor, he was pretty sneaky in a lot of stuff that he would do, you know? He knew how to hold and hit when the ref wasn't looking. He knew how to angle the guy to make sure the ref's, you know, the guy's back was towards the ref. So, yeah, that's I got to agree with you on that. Casamayor, smart.
Holding and fouling a guy, then you got to get that to be hot, man, because he made a career off of hitting guys in their hips when the referee was on the other side and could never see it.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and you look at the trilogy with, who was that, Allen? What was his name? Robert Allen. That first fight, I believe. No, maybe the second fight with Robert Allen. Robert Allen said, man, he couldn't walk for 2 weeks because of what Bernard Hopkins was doing to him in there. You know what I'm saying? So I got to give at least the hip punch to B-Hop, the headbutts go to, you know, Evander, you know, he on the throne, but, you know, Casamayor, he coming in second, in a slight second, because he do it right when he initiates the clinch. So the ref thinks he's holding the whole time. He led with his head the whole time. But he makes it, he hides it because he's grabbing the opponent at the same time. So, if you watch that second fight he had with Chico, he bust him wide open with that head because he was initiating the clinch at the same time. And he got away with the headbutt. So, man, them guys, I'm telling you, guys who've been around the ring for a long time. You know, Casamayor, he had over 300 amateur fights. You already seen what he did.
Exactly. The trick of the trade.
Yeah,
the trick of the trade, you know?
Yeah. So, if you can get away with it, shoot, it's legal. You know,
some people don't get away with it, like Andrew Gallada's flagrant ass. He's fighting tomorrow.
I was just gonna get into that. What about Best Low Blows?
Andrew Gallardo.
Best low blows.
Because Gallardo threw a combo to Big Daddy's ball. It was like pow 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 pow.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, you know what? I think in his defense, bro. I think in his defense, man, he thought it was a speed bag. You know what I'm saying? So that's what happened here. You know. Hey, let's move away from that real quick. I want to talk about a fight that's coming up. And
hey, real quick, before you get into that, I'm going to update everybody. Our PR, Jesse Regan, got a hold of me. He's having a hard time logging onto the chat, but he's letting me know that Harry Joe Yorgi will most likely be on at the turn of the hour, so about half an hour from now on. So we can look forward to that as well. Go ahead, Dave.
Joseph King Kong Arbeco and Johnny Perez, I was on the teleconference call, and I was able to ask them a few questions. And they were respectful towards each other, but you could kind of tell they were having a little bit of issues. Well, Johnny Perez was, obviously, because King Kong was real adamant about saying, I'm going to knock him out. Not box him, not beat him, I'm going to knock him out. So my question to Joseph was, I said, do you think by going a little out of your way to beat Johnny, are you going a little bit out of your way to beat Johnny Perez by saying you're going to knock him out? And Abreco said, I respect Johnny Perez a lot. I predict a knockout because I know I can knock him out. So I turned to Johnny, asked him, do you feel that he's disrespecting you? And Perez was, he might be underestimating me a little bit, or he may not be using the strategy. He's probably trying to make me lose my concentration, but I'm an old guy. I've been in the business for a while. I have prepared to fight him, and I'm ready for whatever he wants to bring to the table. Okay. You know, another thing I had asked Perez, I said, hey, were you impressed by his performance against Darchilian? And he said he was not impressed. I asked Arbeco right after that immediately, are you planning to impress Johnny Perez? And he said the fight's going to be an enjoyable fight for me. I'm confident. You know, if you guys want to check out all the quotes that they had responded back to my questions, you can go to thewillbebloodfightshow.com. It's under the Joseph Arbeco, Johnny Perez, promotional Don Keene, press conference highlights. I'm going to be putting up the audio of it pretty soon. Got a lot of audio, man. You know, I was in the Miguel Cotto camp conference and got all that, so you guys just got to bear with me. I'm going to go with Strikeheart real quick. Strikeheart, who wins this fight, man? Who's got the upper hand? And is Arbeco maybe overlooking Johnny Perez just a little bit much by saying I can knock him out?
I mean, he's got a pretty decent KO ratio, so I don't know if he's going out on a limb too much. One thing I'd like to ask you, maybe you could clear up for me, did he answer any questions about his sloppy left hook? I believe it was a left hook in his fight with Vic Darchinian.
No, he didn't. Honestly, he didn't answer that. I didn't even ask him. It didn't even cross my mind. I only was able to ask like four questions real quick.
Yeah.
But I tell you
because
what, when we get him on the radio show, we can ask him.
I actually picked him to beat Victor Chinian by knockout, and as I was watching that fight, I mean, the knockout was there, and he just kept missing that left hook over and over again. But I don't think he's really going out on a limb. He's been one of those guys that the more I've seen of him, the more impressed I am.
What is it about Johnny Perez that he's got to kind of worry about? I mean, he's fighting a veteran fighter. This guy's a tough cookie. It's not going to be easy to break.
Right. I don't know as much about him as I do Egbeko. So honestly, it's one of those cases where I kind of have to go back and look at his record and see what I think. Which I haven't really done, like, all the way yet. But, I mean, I think, really, he just has to make sure that he doesn't get carried away because he tends to, Joseph Egbeko sometimes, get a little bit ahead of himself. I think if he paces himself, he just feels things out. If he has tightened up that left hook, because I have heard him talk about how he realized that was a mistake that he had made in the Victor Chinian fight, I really have no problem at this point saying that he could KO this guy. I'm not really ready to make a decision on one way or the other on the outcome of the fight yet, but at this point, he's definitely my favorite to win. I think he's a great fighter.
You know, this guy's a big banger, you know, Johnny Perez. He's got 19 wins, 14 KOs. You know, he stepped in there with Silence Mambuza and was able to KO him on the 12th round. I mean, so this guy's really not going to be that easy. And you know, the funny thing is here, what you just said right now, you said you don't know a whole lot about Johnny Perez. And really, that was the same type of scenario where Joseph Egbeko was at one point when facing Victor Chinian. There was a lot of people that did not know him. This could be that case where the hand keeps turning over and over and over, you know, where this might be, I mean, a lot of media, you know, are predicting this might be a fight of the year type of fight. You know, I'll go
yeah,
with Chris Mal with six.
Okay.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I mean, on paper, it definitely looks like it makes a good matchup just by looking at it. I just have to go and look at this guy Perez's fights a little bit before I make a decision on who's going to win.
He throws a lot of punches, man. He throws a lot. I've seen some of his fights. He's one of those guys we just haven't seen because they haven't televised his fights. They have some of his fights on YouTube. He throws a lot of punches. Some of those stops have just been just from doing damage to his opponents. But it's one of them situations, man, where the question mark is there again, you know.
Right.
He's from Colombia. Yeah, he's from Colombia.
Does he come straight forward in the line?
He actually comes out. He throws a lot of punches. He seems to be like a headhunter, man. Like he stalks down his opponents from what I saw of him.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he just comes right at his opponents with the punches, man, with the heat.
So it does
have potential to be fight of the year. This guy's very tough, like Ruff just said. You know, he's like 19-0 or something, and he's knocked out most of his opponents. But some of his knockouts that I was seeing were just from flurries of just doing damage, just coming after his opponent, keeping a lot of pressure on them. So that's why it has the tendency to be a candidate for fight of the year.
Because really the big mistake that Victor Chinian made was coming straight forward, never really adjusting to the fact that he was getting peppered on his way in the whole time. So I would say coming in a straight line, just throwing punches at Joseph Egbeko is a bad game plan. So
he's going to come right at him. From what it looks like to me, he's going to come right at him. So
yeah,
I think that's what we want.
Going to help him out.
I think that's what we want, though.
That's what we want to see now.
Come at each other.
Yeah, but that's what Joseph Egbeko wants to see, too. So I think that's probably going to work out for his benefit in this one. So now having known that and still not having seen him, It bodes way better for Joseph Egbeko.
Absolutely. Hey guys, you know what? Before we keep continuing, I'm not going to be on the interview calls. I got to go. I have a lot of things that I got to take care of today. You know, you guys can handle it. We got Alfredo Angulo
We have his opponent that's going to be calling in right now. Is that right, Dave?
It'll be in about 30 minutes, yeah.
Okay. And, you know, so I'm going to sign off, brothers, but I will see you next week. You know, I had to go cover the event yesterday, but today I got some other stuff that I got to kind of catch up because we've been so, so busy. Hey, next week, though, on Thursday, we're having Andre Durrell come through and kind of chop it up to us a little bit about his Carl Froch fight, what he thinks, and what he thinks he did wrong in that fight. You know, we got some real good things lined up for next week. We're doing another Friday show because we just got so much coming off, so many things that are just coming up, and so many people that want to get on leaving in the ring. Anyways, this is your boy, 97 Ruff. Blood, Dave, Chris, if I could try to call in a little later, I will, but I know you guys can hold it down, brothers. Talk to you guys later.
All right, be easy.
See you, man.
Wow. I mean, I wanted to actually get my take real quick about Lamont Peterson, right, and his fight with Timothy Bradley. I actually kind of was excited when they announced that fight. I thought two guys, you know, in terms of their styles anyway, are actually – you know, has a chance of making it a pretty entertaining fight. I mean, they're both really fast. They're both pretty smooth boxers. They both throw a lot of shots. So, you know, at least we're going to get some action on that night. You know, I don't want to think about it too much. You know, I could really care less, you know, whether or not, you know, what it really means for either guy to win, because I think both of them are kind of green and it's not a mega fight or anything. But I think from a boxing purist standing point, you know, it's probably going to be pretty entertaining.
What do you think, Chris?
Am I wrong on that? I mean, regardless.
No, it'll make for an entertaining fight.
We'll see. Styles make fights. You know what they say. I'm just curious. Hopefully, one of you guys know. Is this the Peterson brother that sparred with Floyd Mayweather for the Marquez fight and went in there and tried to make a name for himself?
Yep. All right, then I am a little more excited
because obviously he wasn't afraid to go at Floyd. The guy's looking to make a name for himself, so he's not going to back down from a fight in there. So, I mean, that has me a little more anticipating the fight.
Yeah, I think maybe, I mean, just physically, his height and his reach are something that is a little bit different than what we've seen Timothy Bradley had to deal with in the ring as well. So that being said, that he's also a boxer more than anything else. And Junior Witter, I don't even know how to describe what he is. Kendall Holt's more of a counterpuncher. And Nate Campbell is like a shoulder forward, come forward in your face type guy. So this is a new look that we're going to see Timothy Bradley have to deal with, although I do think it's something he's probably more familiar with from his amateur career. So not that any of us have really seen that, so we'll get a little peek at that.
You know what Lamont Peterson is? He's like that guy to me, because I don't see him that much. To me, he's one of those guys who looks good in the gym. He does the pad work that Floyd Mayweather does. He does all the quick stuff. He does a lot of good workouts. He looks very good when he's hitting the bags and stuff. The guy is obviously an athlete, but as we all know, athletic potential doesn't translate into the ring. It's all mental once you get in the ring. You know, we saw the Durrell and Froch fight. We saw two fighters who did not fight to their potential because of mental reasons. You know, so I mean, stylistically, it could be a good fight. And you know, that's the only thing we really have to go on as fans of the sport. You know, whether or not it happens, you know, that's why we watch the fights and that's why we cross our fingers. But I actually want to talk about something because we were talking about this a little bit. Blood, I want to hear your opinion on this Andrew Gullotta fight that he has with Thomas Adamek. I mean, a lot of these new fans, you know, they might not even remember, you know, the Andrew Gullotta fight that we all can think of. So, you know, should we really care about this fight? You know, is Andrew Gullotta a name that people should still care about?
I don't think he's a big name anymore in the heavyweight division. I mean, the fight, you know, it means a lot to, you know, overseas. But really at this point, this is a fight that, you know, I'll watch it, but I don't really care that much to see it. I don't really I think Adamek should be able to go in there and get him a victory, man. Should be able to outpoint him, just keep his distance, and try to outbox him. That's pretty much all I think about.
That's what I gotta say.
Just play it safe because, you know, Gullotta's a big guy, and the last thing that goes is the power. So I'm pretty sure he still has some power to knock Adamek out. So you better watch out.
I mean, can Adamek box? He couldn't really even box down there in the lighter weights, and now he's got a guy who's taller and longer than he is. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, heavyweights are slower. And I just think I don't see why he would go in there and try to slug it out with Andrew Gullotta. you know, he should try to take advantage of being the lighter guy, probably a little, you know, quicker. Yeah, he's not known for his boxing ability, but this is his chance to have a good showing, and I think he should just look for getting the victory.
Is Riddler still on the line? I know Riddler likes Andrew Gelada.
Oh, yeah, yep. I love a whole bunch of Polish fighters. Man, I am so tired. I'm about to say the craziest shit tonight. I feel drunk.
All right,
you like
know,
all the Polish fighters?
I'll take care of that.
What?
I'm Polish, and I might say that you might tend to forget who Andrew Gelada's opponents are. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, you didn't even know he fought Mike Tyson, so I don't want to hit that.
I forgot. All I remember is that cat was one crazy guy, and I wouldn't be very confident being in the same room with him alone. I'd be like, oh, man, what's this guy going to do? And honestly, with Mike Tyson, I wouldn't feel that way. I think Andrew Gelada is truly crazy, whereas Mike Tyson might play up to the fact that people think he is.
I just think that if you watch all of Andrew Gelada's losses, it's because he's got blown out in the first round. He comes in very cold. You know, he's not one of those fighters who has a hot warm-up. So, he wasn't
disciplined at all.
Yeah, he just comes in very
cold.
Honestly,
he was just there to collect a paycheck. That's pretty much Andrew Gelada's story right there. Not disciplined whatsoever.
And he's been a little more level-headed over the past few years, though. He really
oh, yeah,
has,
maybe, I mean. Because I haven't heard anything about him.
He's a little bit more calm now than he was. You know, now he sort of knows how to stay away from being blown out. But, like, guys with, like, Lamont Brewster, Lennox Lewis, and, you know, Tyson took him a little bit. They didn't really go crazy. But, you know, in those losses, he just was blown out really early, so... I mean, I don't think Adamek has that type of power, and Adamek's been rocked before by opponents who don't hit as hard, opponents who aren't as big, and I don't think Adamek has boxing skills, really. I mean, like, he's like, you know, his boxing skills are non-existent, like, they're garbage, like, it's like Crouching Tiger, Drunken Adamek, like, that's what it is right there.
You know, I actually think this is one of those times where, you know, the odds makers are just going on what's popular right now and what's been going on. They're not really looking at the matchup. Like, they don't really understand what's really going on. They see Adamek, he's been doing really good. He's had all these cruiserweight championship fights, and they think, oh, Andrew Gelada, the guy that quit against Mike Tyson, and he's older now, so we're going to give him no chance against Thomas Adamek, and they don't really even think about the style matchup, never mind the fact that Gelada was a pretty powerful heavyweight. So I actually give him a very good chance on this one. In fact, if you just ask me, if you just show me two guys without telling me anything about them and just show me their fights, I would have to say Andrew Gelada wins this fight.
Do you think that he can win on decision, or is it going to have to be a knockout?
Well, it's in Poland, so I don't know who's you know, better over there right now. You're going to have to let me know. Like, who's everybody saying? Are they like, oh, man, I hope Adamek puts that old man away? Or are they like, oh, Andrew's back. He's going to beat up Tomas. You know, what are they saying?
I mean, I can only speak for there's only a few Polish people that I know that have actually been back and forth, but over on this side, I mean, people still seem to like Andrew Gelada for some reason. I never really caught on to that whole deal. But Thomas Adamek is huge right now. I mean, you certain spots in New Jersey, you say his name and everybody's head turns. So I think on this side, definitely Adamek's a way bigger start than Gelada right now. In Poland, I really honestly couldn't guess.
But do you get the impression that nobody is even entertaining the idea that Gelada might just knock him out?
I think that that's the only way that most people see Gelada winning the fight is if he lands one good shot. Other than that, I think most people probably pick Adamek to win on distance.
Really? You think Adamek can walk through Gelada like he walked through some of the other guys? You know what I mean?
I think he might be able to stay away from him enough to win the fight. Because honestly, I mean, at this point, Gelada's... I mean, I haven't seen his last how many fights. I don't even know. But I'm assuming that he slowed down quite a bit. And
at
this point, he's just packing... Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think he's probably just packing one hell of a punch and nothing much else. So you should be able to just stick and move, even if you are Thomas Adamek and come out with a decision, as long as you don't get caught.
Play the damn Rocky music, because Adamek's going to need it.
Chris Sacramento, the quiet man, you have to have some thoughts on Andrew Gallada and whatever his chances is come tomorrow night against Thomas Adamek.
Speaking of the quiet man, I think Ruiz beat Gallada, so that doesn't speak well for Gallada.
Why did you have to remind me?
Exactly. You know what's funny? I heard a Strikeheart talking about Gallada not trusting him. Am I the only one that visions him in a couple of years being like the bodyguard in the Russian mafia or something like that? He just looks
Isn't
like
that what
kids.
He was before he came here?
Yeah, actually, I think he might have been. You're right. Maybe that's where that
he was like a criminal, you know, in Eastern
Europe. You know what I picture him as? Andrei Chikatilo, the Russian serial killer who ate children, man. That's what I picture.
Why would
Andrew Gallada doing
bring
in
that
the future?
Up, man?
Because that guy's crazy. I really don't know how to comment on that man's mental state. Other than that, he scares me because I don't know what the hell he's gonna do. With Mike Tyson, somebody else who you would say is really unstable, and I could actually kind of guess, like, if Mike's trying to be normal or if Mike's playing up, I might be able to guess what Mike Tyson does. But Andrew Gallada is that crazy guy who you really don't know what the hell he's going to do in the next moment and why. I mean, he baffles me with the decisions that he makes. They don't make any sense.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is ask yourself, you know, who would you have a drink with? I think most of us would have a drink with Iron Mike. We know he'll be all right. But
absolutely.
Would you drink with Andrew Gallada?
No,
that
I don't.
Man,
would
he, like,
I would
be like belligerent.
I would make sure everybody knew I went out with Andrew Gallada.
I'll have
so
a drink with
whoever
buys the damn thing.
Do we
they
still have,
know what
happened. Do we have Josh Ashy Knuckles on the line still?
Yeah, I'm here. Y'all can hear me?
Yeah, man.
Oh man, I think commenting on the Gallada Adamek fight. Adamek is a real good fighter, but, you know, let's be honest. I mean, he was just fighting in light heavyweight maybe a year ago or a year or two ago against Chad Dawson. He had some success at cruiserweight, but he's entering into a whole new element at heavyweight. He's not a heavyweight. He's artificial, you know. Now, he is in there with an opponent who hasn't performed very well at the elite level in a long time, but Andrew Gallada is still a heavyweight. And if he has any of the skills that he had in the past, and this should be an easy fight for him because the guy is not big enough to be in there with him. But, you know, only time will tell because I saw a weigh-in today. Both of them don't really look like they're in peak shape, but you know what? I've been wrong before. You know, I used to see Andrew Gallada come in looking like a bodybuilder. Now he looks like a fighter. So I don't know what really that means, but we'll see what happens on fight night. But I really wanted to comment on that Lamont Peterson Timothy Bradley fight because
go ahead.
No, Houston has a real good amateur system down here. It's very unheralded. I mean, you don't hear a lot about it. It's usually guys from the West or guys from the East, and the guys from the South really don't get a lot of love as far as having a decorated amateur career. But you know, guys from down here, they know about the Peterson brothers because you fight, and when you go to the Nationals, there's guys from all over. And everybody know about the work ethic these guys have had for years. So, I mean, I know Lamont Peterson is not – he seems like he don't have that killer instinct when he's in the ring. And Anthony Peterson does. He's a much flashier fighter. So, naturally, the mainstream boxing fans are going to gravitate towards him because he has a more crowd-pleasing style because he attacks. But Lamont Peterson is really the beast out of those brothers because he's a lot more cerebral. And in this fight with Timothy Bradley, I think he's going to open a lot of eyes because I think he's going to shut down anything Timothy Bradley tries in the ring from 1 to 12. Now, don't get me wrong. I know Timothy Bradley is a very strong fighter, and he comes on late in the end, but he don't have the boxing ability that can match Lamont Peterson in the ring. And I think this is the perfect fight for him to show everybody that there's nothing that Timothy Bradley can do that can, you know, that can compete with him on the elite level of boxing ability in the ring. And if we
so, Ash, who are you saying going to win the fight, though, Ash? Are you actually favoring Peterson?
Lamont, unanimous. Hmm. It's not even, I don't have to think about it. When Chris Carlson hollered at me on YouTube and asked me what I thought about it, I gave my answer. I was like, it ain't even worth him doing a video over. Lamont's going to shut him down. Shut him down. Trust me that. You know what I'm saying? Because the boy's boxing skills is on a whole nother level. He just doesn't display it And when he's in the ring, he's not thinking about the audience. He's thinking about the guy in front of him. And every time the guy in front of him tries new things, all he does is shut that down. That's it. You know what I'm saying? He don't go for the knockout. He just puts hands on the opponent. That's it. Now, his brother has a more pleasing style because he attacks, always on the offensive, always trying to put his skills on display. But, you know, in the future, you'll see he's leaving himself a whole lot. He's leaving himself open to counter punches. Right now, he has the athleticism and the speed to get away from it, as well as Lamont, but Lamont is more cerebral. He's not even in there trying to please the fans. He's in there to show this guy he's in the ring with that you have nothing to bring to me in this game, in this fight, and I'm going to show you. And I think you're going to see that in this fight. I mean, I know I'm going to be in the minority. You know, Timothy Bradley is probably going to be the favorite, and he should be his champion. And he's been in the ring with the much better opposition as of late. But I think in this fight, you're going to see the level of difference in skill and ability. You know, I mean, if I'm wrong, I mean, I'll have my crow barbecue. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I'm wrong. I think it's going to be from 1 to 12. Not necessarily domination, but you're going to see there is a difference in boxing ability.
Now, this better not be the Henny talking to us now that you got right over there.
This is my worry, though. Timothy really needs to be dissuaded from just going in there and throwing a million punches. What is he going to do? Is he just going to dance? Or what is he going to do to keep Timothy Bradley out of his chest?
Well, for number one, Lamont Peterson got a great defense. He got a great defense, and he'll use... I mean, it's very seldom he uses a shoulder roll, but he'll use a shoulder roll if he has to. He'll use the peekaboo defense if he has to. Or he'll just smother the punches. He'll step inside, use angles on the inside and stay close, take away the guy's punching range. He do so much to take away the guy's offensive game plan. You'll see, I mean, Timothy Bradley's going to throw a lot of punches, but when you see it, those punches being blocked and slipped and countered, you're going to see Timothy Bradley's punch output decrease. Because
yeah,
he's going to be thinking, how am I going to attack this guy?
That's key to beating Bradley is because he'll just out-throw you to win rounds. He doesn't really care much what lands so much as how many punches he can hit you on the shoulders and arms and elbows and everywhere but the target with to win the round. So that's I think that he really tries to steal rounds even when he's not really being effective just by using just his punch output. That would be my big worry with Lamont Peterson. That is he going to have enough power to keep him honest on the inside as well? Because his knockout.
I definitely think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think he's just pure hand speed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not often you see him sit down on his punches, but he got enough power to keep these guys off of him, bag him up. You know, bag him up off of him. He's not necessarily a small 140 pounder. It's just that he really doesn't sit down on his punches. He don't ever look for the knockout. I don't care what his mouth says. I've seen all of his fights. He doesn't do that. His whole MO is to shut you down. If the knockout comes, then hey, so be it. He won by knockout. But from what I've seen thus far and from what I've heard from guys down here like Marcus and Lenard Lane from the amateurs, his whole thing is just to shut you down in the ring. And so far, that's what I've seen. You know what I'm saying? Now, if he comes out there and surprisingly, I don't think nobody's going to knock out Timothy Bradley. I mean, he's proven that he can take a good punch. But if he knocks Timothy Bradley out, man, I'd be totally shocked. But if he won a unanimous decision, I wouldn't be shocked one bit.
Well, actually, you know, because Timothy Bradley, he's got world-class speed and stamina, things like that. You know, and like you say, he can take a punch. He's going to be doing that all night long. You think Lamont can fight, you know, up to the level of his competition, so to speak? Because this is world level here, you know what I mean?
It is the world level. I mean, this would represent the biggest step up in class in his entire professional career. But I think Roger Mayweather coined this phrase years ago, and I have to give him credit for that because you know it's not a lot of times he says things in the media that you can actually you know look back on and say you know what you were right because usually he's talking a lot of mess. But Roger Mayweather said it best. if you got skills at the elite level and the world level, then you know what? Then you have skills. But the only reason why you got the skills is the guys you spar and the guys that you fight. Now, the guys that Lamont Peterson have sparred been world champions all across the board, from Mayweather, Zab Judah, and many, many others. So, and all of them say the same thing. Well, you haven't seen anything. You haven't heard Floyd say anything about this sparring match. But Zab and many others have said the same thing. Both the Peterson brothers will be world champions. They have what it takes. You know what I'm saying? So if he's sparring these guys and holding his own and have been holding his own with elite-level fighters, then I have to believe that, you know, what I've seen thus far is going to be enough, you know, when he steps up for his first world title.
You know what, Ashley? You know? I think you might be right. You know, like if it happens, we'll say we heard it here first. We'll say, you know, we'll give credit to you, you know, and everything. But guys, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, it'll be about 6 p.m. on the West Coast, and hopefully, Harry Joe Yorgi or Alfredo Angulo would have called in by then. So let's take a short break, and then we'll come back in a few minutes.
Tell me that there's love here, but to me it's fake. Death with all the blood here, feeling with stakes. Plus with all the hate, it's hard to keep peace.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt not steal, but I will to eat. I tried doing good, but good's not too good for me. Misunderstood, why you chose the hood for me? Me, I'm a'ight, I just had to work hard at it. With the grandma for answer, and she told me that God had it. So now here I am, confused and full of questions. Am I born to lose, or is this just a lesson? And who is going to choose when it gets turned around? And will it be laying in my own blood and on the ground?
My child, I watched you grow up and I've been there.
Uh-huh.
Even at those times you least expected it, I was there.
Right.
And look at what I've given you, a talent to rhyme. I may not come when you call, but I'm always on time.
Somebody's knocking, should I let them in? Lord, we're just starting, but where will it end? Somebody's knocking, should I let them in? Lord, we're just starting, but where will it end?
But when the funds are low, the guns will blow. Looking for that one that owes. That
no, put down the guns and write a new rhyme. Get it all in due time. You'll do fine, just have faith, cause you mine. And when you shine, it's gonna be a sight to behold. So don't fight to behold or lose sight when it's cold. See that light down the road? It's gonna guide you there. Two sets of footprints, I was right beside you there.
But what about them times I only saw one? Those were the times when I was under the gun.
It was then I carried you, my son. Led you to Satan. It just wasn't your time to face.
Hey, yo, a few of them times I thought you would erase me. No, you did was embrace me, prepared me for the worst. Offered me eternal life, you shared me with the hurt. And the curse turned to grace when the hurt turned to faith. No more running, sliding in the dirt, cause I'm safe.
Somebody's knocking, should I let them in? Lord, we're just starting, but where will it end? Somebody's knocking, should I let them in?
If I'm your man, I'm in your hand. What's your plan? Never had a friend, cause you couldn't trust a man. Learn to stand before I crawl. Things were twisted. And if you showed me anything at all, then I missed it. Looked the wrong way,
uh-huh.
I've done some wrong things.
True.
Kept a bad attitude, but that's what wrong brings. And now you mean to tell me that after all this time, it was you that kept the dog from going out of his mind? It was you that breathed life into my lungs when I was born. And it was you that let me know what was right from what was wrong. And it was you that let me do what I knew could be done. And it was you that gave me a good wife and a beautiful son. And it's been you speaking to me inside my mind. And it's been you who has forgiven time after time. It was you who opened my eyes so I could see. It was you shine so light on me.
And we're back. How's everybody doing?
I don't know, man. You're all gonna make me lose my mind with that DMX track. That's what I gotta say.
Are you not a big DMX fan?
No.
Well, you gotta
not
explain,
at
man.
All.
What's wrong with DMX? I mean, you don't gotta love him, but it sounds like you don't.
No, I don't have any major beef with DMX. I just think over the past few weeks, I've probably heard more DMX than I've heard in the past few years. Just not a big fan. It's not anything more serious than that.
Well, what can we do, man? I mean,
we gotta get some Wu-Tang up in the break. That's what I gotta say.
You know what? That's probably a good idea. Well, I'll ask Dave. I'll ask Dave and see what he can do. You see what I'm saying?
Man, if he needs any help, I can help him out with that.
Get some leads.
Why don't you bring the Jedi mind tricks to you, bro?
Yeah. I don't know how radio-friendly Jedi mind tricks and AKA Army of the Pharaohs are, but I would love to hear that too. As a group out where you're at, David Chen, I think, anyway, in the Baltimore area, right? There's a group called Food for Animals out there. I don't know if you know about them, but they're an awesome underground rap group from Baltimore. I've missed them when they came through this way a few times, but I'd love to see them live. Play them, too.
Why don't you people put some Lady Gaga on?
I mean, that's all good. You know, I don't think the issue is getting the music to upload and to play. I think the issue is, you know, making sure Wu-Tang is not outside our house when we do it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I don't think you just get to do that on the air.
Right. Yeah, I totally hear you. I'll give him a call. I'll let him know.
So I'm saying, you can get some Lady Gaga. She ain't gonna do shit. She might give you a blowjob, but she ain't gonna do anything else.
I would be okay with opening my door and see her outside my house. But the Wu-Tang Clan, absolutely not.
I would be ecstatic to see the Wu-Tang Clan outside my house. Are you kidding me?
That sounded so wrong.
I'd
be like, all right, man, is it ready? Are you guys ready to let me in the clan?
Listen. It's not a card for you to play for the rest of your life just so you can say funny things like that. You see what I mean? Eventually they're gonna question you, brother.
What's that?
I'm saying you being married is not gonna be the card that you play every time you say funny stuff about men.
Wait, because I want to be in the Wu-Tang Clan, I'm gay? Are you kidding me? That's about the most manly thing you could do is be in the Wu-Tang Clan.
Or are you trying to let Wu-Tang in a little bit? I don't know. You want him to show up at your house.
Basically, he's saying that you
want
to get
in my house.
He's saying that you're going to get game banged by the Wu-Tang. Okay, that's what we're trying to say.
I don't think so.
You never know.
I'm just joking with you.
I know you guys are just joking with me, but man, seriously, man, the Wu-Tang. I would love to see them. I don't care if I'm using the word love. I'd love to see Wu-Tang.
You might be
mad. Oh, y'all silly, man.
You know what? On a serious note, though, I've been reading that Kelly Pavlik, he had life and death with his allergic reaction that he had, which caused him to have to pull out of the bout with Paul Williams. So you know, maybe we should cut him some slack, you know?
What happened?
He has punisheritis.
I didn't hear this one yet.
He has punisheritis.
No, I guess it's whatever medicine he was taking for his hand situation had gave him a reaction, and he got a fever. He went past 105 degrees, something like that, and his heart rate was up, and he was admitted to the hospital. So I guess, you know, I mean, the guy was apparently red and purple, and he was having all kinds of bad times. So hopefully Kelly Pavlik feels better, and, you know, obviously we don't want to force a man in that state to have to fight on the 5th of December.
No, but this would be my question if we ever got to talk with Kelly. I know we've reached out to him several times, but why all of a sudden? Because he's had this infection for a long, long time. So is this a new medicine he started taking or what?
No.
I mean, it must be. I mean, how can we ever know? But, you know, it's...
Right, yeah, he would need to talk to the press at some point for anybody to know, which
right.
he doesn't seem very inclined to do.
I mean, he's like a famous athlete. He's got a lot of money, so he's probably got private physicians around him. And you know how those guys do. They try to give you anything and everything sometimes without really thinking about the consequences, you know. A lot of these doctors who work for celebrities and athletes, you know, they might not know what they're doing. You know, they end up giving you steroids. I mean, look at what happened to Michael, for example, things like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, what do you think, man? This is the scary news or what? You know, what happened to Kelly Pavlik taking some medication, apparently.
Yeah, I think he took some medication for just being scared, personally. I mean, I don't really believe. Who said it, though? What was your source?
I mean, it's been on everywhere. Yahoo Sports, you know, you name it.
I don't know, man. I just think he didn't want that to happen. right away.
Yeah, I how many times did I say that that fight would probably wouldn't happen? So even if this is true, I still don't think that that would have changed the fact that there would have been something else to take him out of the fight.
Kelly the Hoax Pavlik, that's going to be his new nickname, the Hoax.
I mean, the ghost is fine because you don't really see a ghost all that often. And they're kind of, you know, you can't really find too many ghosts around.
Yeah, we can't see him right now, so he's a ghost right now for sure. He ghosts every time. Every time you hear Paul Williams' name, he ghosts for sure. Yeah.
You know what, guys? Apparently Jack Lowe will be calling in as well, you know, Pavlik's trainer, so maybe he can talk to us. That's what I'm hearing from Jesse Reekin, so hopefully he gets that together for us, and we can talk to Jack Lowe a little bit about, you know, everything.
That would be great.
Yeah, man.
Jack Lowe's another trainer in boxing who's like 99% of the time he does interviews, he's on crack or something, so.
You gonna say that when he come on? You gonna tell him that when he come on the show?
I'm a, if I'm this Kyle, you best believe I'm gonna tell him that shit. I'm going to tell him your boy is the host, Pavlik, with his bald ass. All right,
we're gonna put Riddler on ice for a little bit so he can get it stopped. Can't be having all that stuff now. I do have a caller from the area code 484. That sounds like Pennsylvania. Caller, you on the air?
Yes, how you doing?
How you doing, man? Who is this?
This is Harry Yorgi.
Oh, Harry Joe Yorgi, what's going on, man? That's what I was thinking, because you're from the same area of Pennsylvania as our Strikehearts, our host. How you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good. Now, I actually want to ask you a personal question real quick, because I'm looking back on your record, and I saw you fought Martinez Clay twice, and Martinez Clay had just been in Baltimore fighting one of our upcoming prospects. It was about two weekends ago. You know, what do you remember about Martinez Clay? Because from what I've seen of him when he was here, he actually fights very well. So what do you remember from being in the ring with him?
You know, I'll tell you, Martinez Clay, he's got his record doesn't show his talent. The first time I fought him, you know, Clay and I both talked about it. You know, I mean, they called it a draw and everything, but I hands down beat him. You get them judges. We fought again, and, you know, I beat him 9 out of 10 rounds, but I also brought Clay in for sparring when I was getting ready for Hearns. And the guy he knows his way around the ring. He's a crafty vet. And, you know, if you're going to get in the ring with him, you don't think you got an easy fight because of his record, because the guy knows how to fight.
Yeah, man, because he's got more losses than he has wins. But when he was in there, I thought, man, this is going to be a long night. Hold up real quick, Harry. I'm going to take another caller because I believe it might be another one of our guests. I got a caller from the area code 330. Caller, you on the air?
Yeah, this is Jack Lowe.
Jack, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Good. We want to make sure Kelly's okay because we've been hearing news that he's taking medication and he's actually had to be hospitalized. You know, what can you say about any of this?
No, very untrue. He was hospitalized probably like a month ago, and that's when he had a reaction, you know, to the antibiotics that they were giving him for the staph infection. You know, the staph infection is completely healed up. It's a matter of we could not bend our hands still, you know, and, you know, we had HBO coming in here. We're 6 weeks Monday away from the fight, actually tomorrow away from the fight. And, you know, I can't let a guy go in there unhealthy. He couldn't bend his hand. He couldn't even hit the heavy bag. We've been, you know, practicing one-handed, and it's just not a way you get ready for a Paul Williams. So it was my call, and I made the decision, and that was it.
Well, Jack, I mean, what can we do about news like this popping up all over the place? Because I'm seeing it on ringtv.com. I'm seeing it on yahoo.com. You know, like, where are these stories coming from then?
I have no idea. Listen, Kelly Pavlik picks his nose the wrong way, it gets reported. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. I've heard all kind of crazy things. You know, people could assume whatever they would like about the kid. You know, why would he pass up a $3 million payday to fight Paul Williams, you know what I mean? So, listen, I made a decision, which means I passed up 10% of that, which if you're any decent in math, you know it's quite a large chunk of money. And it's all because we could not bend a hand. He's not in the hospital. We had a funeral tonight. Well, one of our guys on our team, his mom passed away, and Kelly and his wife were there. So, no, he's not in the hospital. He's doing fine. And once we are able to bend our hand completely, we'll resume training.
Okay, I mean, that's all I want to know is that everything is all right with you guys. But, you know, let's get back to Harry, man. You just stopped Ronald Hearns. I mean, how did that feel at the time, man? I mean, of course, you know, that's gotta win you some points no matter what.
Well, yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't know if that was for me or Jack.
That's for you, Harry.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, when I saw Hearns fight, you know, no disrespect to Hearns, he was knocking guys loose, man, knocking them out. And I knew, you know, I'm a boxer puncher, and if people look at my record and they see, oh, he's only got 10 knockouts, you know, they didn't think I was going to have any pop. And I knew how slick I was in the ring, and I seen some weaknesses in Hearns that I could exploit. And when we took that fight, I watched the film, and it went exactly the way that I planned while I was training for the fight. And like I said, no disrespect to him. In the fight, at no time was I ever in trouble, you know, or in any harm's way, I felt. And it just showed my strength in later rounds. I knocked him out in the ninth round. And then it was huge. I mean, you know, you talk about grabbing the opportunity by the throat. I had to take advantage of that shot because, you know, I was only on TV like 3 or 4 times before that, but nothing on the big level like HBO and Showtime.
Absolutely. I mean, now you got this shot against Alfredo Angulo. I mean, what do you think of Angulo as a fighter, just right off the bat, in your own words?
I mean, you know, everybody I fight, I respect. I mean, you know, boxing is a serious sport. It's a tough sport. You know, only special people can do it. And, you know, Angulo brings it, man. I mean, he comes in shape. He comes to fight. You know, he puts pressure on you, tries to just, you know, knock guys out. That's his style. He wants to stop you. And, I mean, he's an exciting fighter. You got a guy like Angulo who does that, and you got a guy like me who's very slick and box and punch. I mean, it's a fight that you should rush to the TV and watch.
Harry, take us back a little bit to before this fight was made. You know, who initiated it? Is this a fight that your people went and got for you? Is this, you know, did Angulo's people call you in as an opponent for him? You know, take us back and let us know exactly how it all went down.
Well, when I first got in camp for the Hearns fight, Ricardo Mayorga pulled out of the fight with Angulo, and they called me for that fight. And, you know, it was within like 3 or 4 days, and I would never do that to myself. You know, I mean, I really respect this game. You know, I'm a student of this game, and I said, listen, I'm not doing that for the amount of money that they offered me. And don't get me wrong, I was in shape and everything, but so the fight was still lingering around, and then I took care of business down there, obviously on Gary Shaw's show, and I knocked Hearns out, and then my promoter Artie, Banner Promotions, you know, he got a phone call, I guess after a couple of the guys that they offered to fight Angulo on HBO, and maybe HBO turned it down or something, and then my name came up, and of course, you know, I knocked out Hearns, and I am undefeated. They, you know, they agreed with the fight, and I agreed with the fight, and things just worked out, man. You know, I mean, we worked the money out. It's perfect.
You know, Harry, Jack, I'm really glad you guys came on the show, and I want to open this up to my other co-hosts because I'm sure they have a lot of good questions they want to ask you. I want to first give it to our co-host, Strikehearts, Justin Strikehearts from Pennsylvania, your neck of the woods. Justin, go ahead and talk to Mr. Jack Lowe and Harry Joe Worgi.
Sure. I'll talk with you, Jack Lowe, first.
All right.
Got some questions I'd like you to answer. We actually had George Peterson, Paul Williams' trainer, on last night, so it's very appropriate that you be here tonight. He claims to have read in the newspaper, your local newspaper, and that's how he found out Kelly wouldn't be fighting. Care to comment on that at all? Did you guys reach out to him beforehand to let him know, hey, heads up, we can't fight you?
You know what, there was a mistake, and I really have no idea how that happened. I had no idea who knew, who did not know. I mean, I know I knew. We had told his manager, Cameron, and when I pulled up at our gym, yeah, our vindicator was there, and obviously they asked me a question, and I told him the answer, not knowing that nobody else, as of George Peterson and them guys, knew. So that's probably how he heard it, and unfortunately, that's how he heard it. Listen, I understand their point. You know, if they're tired of waiting, I'm really sorry, but I'm not putting on a healthy fighter. And, I mean, I feel bad for their point. I mean, it's a big fight for them also.
Is part of the reason why you have been saying this over the past few minutes because you still kind of feel a little bit upset about putting Kelly out there? You say that he was sick when you brought him to fight Bernard Hopkins. Is that part of the reason why you're hesitant to do it this time?
Well, you know, I learned a big lesson. You know, you know, people ask me, what can I take from the Hearns fight? What did I learn from the Hopkins fight? What I learned from the Hopkins fight is you don't let a fighter fight that's not healthy. And, again, you know, I don't want to take anything away from Bernard Hopkins. The guy fought an outstanding fight that night, probably the best fight he fought since Tito Trinidad. And, you know, it wasn't our night. It wasn't our night. You know, we didn't spar for 3 weeks because of the elbow. We get bronchitis the night, you know, 2 nights before the fight. But, again, I'm not making excuses because I made a mistake and I let my guy go in there. And I should have put a halt to that thing, and I didn't. And I told everybody it will never happen again, and it's not.
Uh-huh. When can we expect you guys to get back in the ring? And it definitely sounds like Paul Williams isn't the opponent. So who can we expect you to be in there with? Do you have anybody on the table?
I have no idea. You know, my concern is to get Kelly healthy so we can at least start punching, and then we can start training. And then, you know, I talked to Top Rank today, and once we can get medically cleared where we could punch a heavy bag and we can do the hand pads and we can actually train like a damn fighter could, then Kelly Pavlik, we could announce his next fight. You know, until then, I have no idea.
Okay. I have one last question before I put you back on the shelf for one of my other co-hosts. Do you guys feel any regret in never really taking up Arthur Abraham's challenge to fight now that he's moved away, now he's in the Super 6 tournament?
First of all, I don't know where you're getting your information that we didn't take the challenge. You know, you're going by what Arthur Abraham says, obviously, because Kelly was all for fighting Arthur Abraham. Maybe Bob Arum didn't want to, or whomever didn't want to. That never came out of Kelly Pavlik's mouth, nor my mouth, that we didn't want to fight Arthur Abraham. So... Arthur Abraham.
So if hypothetically, if Arthur Abraham was willing to drop back down to 160, or even meet you guys at a catchweight somewhere,
Arthur Abraham? Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
He's not even going to win the tournament.
You don't think so? Who do you have to win the tournament then?
I think Kessler's going to win the tournament.
Fair enough. I'll leave you on the show for a few minutes.
All right.
Harry Joe Yorgi, right out of my backyard here. First question I have for you is, what was it like fighting in the Phoenixville High School a couple years ago? That's not very far away from where I am. You got a one-round knockout in the Phoenixville High School. Tell me a little bit about that venue and how that went.
I mean, you know, when I was coming up in my career, you know, I fought in my high school up in Marion, and I fought, you know, at the Blue Horizon, and then I was down at casinos, and I made a couple nice arenas. At the time when I fought at the high school, I was excited about it, number one, because it's near my hometown, but at the same time, I wasn't, because I was sitting at 18 or 19 and 0 at the time, and, you know, I felt that I was a TV fighter with my talents, and they were bringing, I think, 15-2, or, 15-3, and this guy was supposed to be really good. He had a great amateur career, and I blew him out in the first round. But again, it was at a high school. I didn't get paid a lot of money there. I mean, it was sold out immediately. You know, I have a huge fan club, but I was kind of ticked off that I was at a high school. But, you know, the fight, I felt great about it. I went in there, and I did what I should have done. I blew the guy out in the first round. And I just, you know, another chance for me to show my skills and my talent.
Right. Here's a moment that I really enjoyed watching. Was I believe it was your father that was in the ring with you after you had beat Ronald Hearns, and kind of a moment you guys shared together in the ring. Was that your father? Am I right there?
Yeah, that was my father and my wife that were both in the ring after the fight, and you know, and my son was in there too. My son. About my father, I gotta say, my son. You know, I had the IBF international title. My son, he's gonna carry my belt in the ring. And my son at the time was 12. He said, "Daddy, it's more important that I carry that belt out." And I was like, "Wow, yes, you are. You are right." But, you know, when the fight was over, you know, my father gave me a big hug and a kiss. And he said something, and I'm sure it was hard for anybody to understand to hear what he said, because he sounded like Rocky when Rocky was crying over Mick when he died. But I understood every word my dad
said.
Right,
yeah. It was a very emotional moment. Tell me about it.
You know, my father and I are very tight, man. Since I was a little kid, you know, my father... We used to watch fights together since I was 3-4 years old on Saturdays, and I'd get up and start boxing in the house, and he would teach me how to box. And, you know, I got into a street fight when I was like 9 and really beat this older kid up, and my pop put me in the gyms. And, you know, I always told him I was going to be a world champ, you know, and for him to see that, you know, my dad loves boxing. He tells me, he says, "Man, son, I'm living my dreams through your eyes, boy," because I love watching you in the ring. And my father just got up here in Ohio tonight. And he's going to, you know, watch me spar tomorrow. And I told Jack, because he didn't meet my dad yet, I said, you'll see my pop slipping every punch thrown at me as I'm sparring. So it's kind of nice. It's nice, though. You know, we're very tight. You know, my father, I'm happy he's up here. My wife flew in yesterday. I mean, it's just perfect, man.
How awesome did it feel when you spoiled the script for Ronald Hearns? I mean, I'm sure you felt bad for him, too. But how awesome did it feel to pull off the upset like that?
Well, you know, the critics and everybody, you know, said, oh, you know, I was in the underdog. I was, you know, it'll be an upset if Harry wins. Like I told the other guy, from the second the fight got made, I knew exactly how it was going to happen. You know, I put Hearns in positions he's never been in the ring. And, look, you know, you're not going to steamroll me out of the ring. I don't care who you are. And it was such a great feeling to be on Showtime. I bust my butt all the years to get where I'm at now, and I finally got a chance to get out there and do it. And, I mean, I was on cloud nine for a couple of weeks after that, you know?
Right. And tell me a little bit about how – I asked you about how your corner felt and how your family felt. How did – what sense did you get out of the Hearns corner? Because I could see, like, the shock and disappointment on their face through the TV. How was it, like, being there live? Did they talk to you afterwards?
Yeah, no, they did. They actually came to the party with us afterwards. You know, his Uncle Billy and I, we met when I was in there taking my last pound off. And, you know, I speak for this Christian group called the FCA, and Billy and I were talking about that. And he actually came into my locker room before the fight and said a prayer with me. And then when the fight was over, they were just shocked. They were like, my God, this guy, somebody didn't do their homework right, you know. And but they came up to me, even Tommy, you know, his dad came up, you know. He was talking about when he met my wife, and, you know, he said to me that I'm going to be a great fighter. I'm going to be a world champ. I got a lot of talent. And they actually came with us afterwards to the party. And, I mean, they were nice people. They looked at it like I do. Listen, it's a sport. Hopefully we're all healthy. And, you know, why should we be mad? I mean, yeah, I'm sure they were mad if it was spoiled, but they weren't, like, you know, holding anything against me or anything like that.
Uh-huh. I'd love to keep talking to you, and I appreciate you representing 484 so well. But I'm going to have to pass it along so I don't eat up every awesome question there is to ask Harry Joe Yorgi. So I'm going to pass it to Chris at this point.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Thanks for taking time.
Hey, I appreciate it a lot.
You know, real quick, Harry, I was watching, because I've seen the fight when it happened live, but I didn't recall it off the top of my head. I was just watching your fight against Hearns the last couple of rounds and whatnot, and you really went after him, you know. Is that your style? Are you more of an aggressive fighter? Or was it just because Hearns wasn't bringing the fight towards you? Because we know Angulo's an aggressive fighter.
Well, you know, one thing I do, you know, and when I got up here in Ohio, one of my trainers, John Hutter, said it, you know, he said, listen, Harry's very smart, man. No matter what's in front of him, he knows how to fight it. He can adapt to whatever. Height, speed, you know, somebody with power, somebody shorter than me. And like I said, you know, I'm a boxer puncher, and I saw the holes that I created against Hearns. And, you know, I mean, let's not be fake here. I mean, the guy had 17 knockouts out of 21 fights, so I wasn't going to go out there and be like, all right, I'm going to put myself in harm's way. I wanted to test the waters. And once I did that, and once I seen that he couldn't handle what I was bringing, I turned the juice up a little bit later. And I just broke him down, man. I mean, just methodically broke him down, and I knew it was time to pick it up in the last two rounds, and I just did it, took him out. And it worked out perfect. I mean, it couldn't be any better if I wrote it, you know?
Right. All right, so I think, you know, with the Hearns fight and with this fight, whether, you know, I think the matchmakers are bringing you in more or less as an opponent. You know, they're trying to get their guys over on you. Obviously, it didn't work in the Hearns fight, and, you know, hopefully, you know, for your sake, it won't work out that way in the Angulo fight. But do you think that the reason you're being brought in, you may be overlooked, is because the majority of your fights have taken place in Pennsylvania?
Well, you know, it's funny you asked me that, because my wife and I were just talking about that tonight. And, you know, the people that I were with before, they kept me, you know, like she said, you were hindered, Harry. They kept me on a small circuit. And, you know, look, but you got to look at it. I was fighting in Philadelphia, you know, fighting in Atlantic City, fighting tough guys coming in and doing my job every fight, getting better and better as I went. I only had 30, 35 amateur fights. So, as you say, I was learning on the job. But, you know, if they want to overlook me, man, that's a shame for other people. I don't know how many times it's going to take me to keep doing what I do in the ring for someone to realize that. But, you know, I'm thankful they're giving me this shot to fight with Angulo. I mean, look, he's 17-1. Don't forget, I'm 22-0. And it's just going to be great, man. And they can pick me the underdog. I mean, I was the underdog at Hearns. I was 4-1. A friend of mine bet on me in Vegas and won like $25,000. I mean, it was awesome.
Cool. All right, now, it wasn't pointed out to me, you know, I haven't got a chance to do any research or anything, but is Jack training you now?
Yes, Jack Lowe and John Hutter and John Lowe, Jack's son, they're my trainers up here.
Right.
I've been up for September.
All right, can you guys, you know, you first or Jack, can you guys kind of tell how that came about, how you, Jack training you came about, you know?
Jeff, you want to go ahead and take that first?
Well, actually, Harry was at the Sphinx fight, I believe it was, and he met my son. My son was down there with one of my other fighters, and that was actually the same night, I believe, that I had Billy Lau when we beat Duddy, and they were down there. So they became friends, and my son had told me that Harry was having little problems, and he was looking for a trainer, and he was going down, and he was visiting Ronnie Shields, and we made a phone call and said we'd love to talk to him, and I brought Harry up here, and we talked, and that's pretty much how it ended up.
Not because Jack's right there with us right now, but Jack will tell you, you know, I was in Houston with Ronnie Shields. You know, they flew me down there to talk to them guys, and I was speaking with Freddie Roach. But you know, the minute I met Jack, man, I just Jack's the kind of guy like me, my father. I mean, you know, I'm a relationship guy, and I liked him immediately, and that's where I chose to go. I mean, Jack will tell you straight up how it is, and that's what I want. I don't want somebody who's telling me, you know, oh, you're doing this and you're that. I want a guy who's like, look, this is what we got to do. If we don't do it, you're going to get your butt dropped. You know what I mean? He makes you work.
Right. All right, we did see, you know, the one fight Angulo has lost was the Kerman Syndrome fight. Is that a fight that you guys, both as fighter and trainer, have studied the most, you know, looking, like, going into this fight? Is that a fight that you studied, like, kind of, it's almost like Cintron almost laid out a blueprint to beat Angulo?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I was at the fight, actually. I had, you know, not on the card, and I had no idea that I'd be working with Harry, that we'd be fighting Angulo, but, I mean, you're absolutely right. I thought Kerman Syndrome fought a perfect fight. I mean, he just showed what it takes to be a basic fighter, you know, and I think as long as our chin holds up to Angulo's power, I mean, I think Harry boxes the hell out of him, and I just think it was a tailor-made plan, and we're going to add a few things to it, and I think the people are going to be extremely shocked at also how strong Harry is.
All right. My last question is, you know, Jack, on the Pavlik Williams tip, you know, we did talk to Williams people, as they said yesterday, and he said that there's no way that you guys are ever going to fight them, that they're not even considering you as an option now. Do you guys see it that way? Is Williams a fight that you would still like to make, or is it something where Kelly just, you know, at this point, doesn't really want to deal with the Williams people at this point?
We'll fight Paul Williams if it comes about. Listen, we don't need Paul Williams. Kelly Pavlik's the middleweight champ of the world. You know, we have nothing to prove to somebody, especially to Paul Williams people and his senile old trainer. You know, they could say what they want. I mean, listen, if the fight happens, it happens. We would love to fight Paul Williams. And I understand their point. Like I said, I mean, you can't wait around forever. And we've just had a very unfortunate 209 since our fight with Rubio. And, you know, I wish him the best, and hopefully we'd love to fight him. He's a great fighter, and we'd love to fight him.
Okay, all right. I'm going to pass it on to my co-host, Lud, a.k.a.
Chris, before you pass it on, I think we have David Duenas back on the line. Ruff, are you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. I'm listening on to the show and stuff. Hey, Jack Lowe, thanks for coming on and leaving the ring. And Harry, please guys take time to chop it up with us hardcore boxing fans.
Great to be here.
I got a quick question for you, Jack, and you know, there's certain matches when you're a trainer and, you know, going back to the amateurs and even the pros, you know, when certain fight is called out to you for your fighter to step in the ring, some fights you kind of look at like with a smile, you think like, they're looking at us like as a stepping stone, but really this is not even a chance for you. This is kind of a match that is kind of tailor-made for you guys. Do you kind of feel that with Angulo? Is this a match that's kind of tailor-made for you guys to defeat?
Oh, absolutely, I think. I mean, you know, when I've watched a few of Harry's tapes before. I've seen the Hearns fight. And, you know, the key in this fight is, you know, of course we're going to get hit. You know, and they say this Angulo is such a great big puncher, but I've seen some of his fights also. And, you know, I just don't think he's just great. You know, you talk about Harry fighting on the East Coast and fighting in Pennsylvania. You know, if you look at most of Angulo's knockouts, a lot of them came in Mexico, things like that. And a lot of them, and even on the fighters that, you know, he's an Olympian, so they watched who he fought. Harry Yorgi could box, and he could also punch. You know, I haven't seen too many white boys that could move like him in the ring. And, you know, he just does everything I ask him to do. He's one of the hardest workers I've ever been involved with. And Angulo's going to be there. So, you know, Harry's just got to do our game plan, and I think he has a very good evening against Angulo.
Harry, is this the perfect timing for you, in your opinion, to face Alguno coming off a loss from Kerman Central? Is this match that you're looking at going, you know what, this could have timed itself any better?
I mean, you know, I seen this fight made. I was excited about it. I mean, you know, Angulo's trying to get back to being number one, and I'm trying to get to be number one. And we're both hungry, and I was excited, definitely excited, because I know, you know, the type of style he has. And, you know, Angulo's not going to change that much. Kerman Cintron and I are very good friends. And, you know, when he got offered to fight, he called me. And, you know, I told him, I was like, look, man, you know, you just box this guy, and, you know, you keep him movement, and you know, don't even just try to sit there and toe-to-toe with this guy and try to knock him out. Just, you know, be slick and show your talents. And Kerm did exactly the way him and I were talking. You know, look, I'm not going to try to be somebody else. I'm gonna be me when I'm in the ring that fight, and I'm going to do what I do the best. And the made a better man win. And I'm going to tell you, like I said about Hearns, the guy had 17 knockouts out of 21 fights. I'll let you know if Angulo could punch after the fight. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Absolutely, you know. Jack, you know, your career has been based off of your pupil, which is Pavlik. In your opinion, do you feel, okay, you know what, everybody's judged me off of what I've done with Pavlik, but it's time for some people to start judging me as an all-round trainer. It's time for people to really look at me as a legitimate trainer, not just the middleweight champion of the world trainer, but I can take another guy under my wing and make him a world champion as well.
Absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right. I don't want to be known as the one-hit wonder. You know, I enjoy working with Harry. I think he could be a world champ. I hope I'm a big part of that. And beyond Harry, I'd love to, you know, a bunch of other guys. You know, I got a lot of good young guys. And, of course, you know, I don't want to be stuck with just one champion. I'd love to have a whole group. And fortunately, I'm getting my shot with Harry. So I think this is just a really big step right in the right direction.
Let me ask you this real quick. Because, you know, every time when you're coming out of a small town like Youngstown, what you guys are doing, okay, and it's a blue-collar town, the big dream is to get out of it. The big dream is to put that town back on the map, you know, the way Boom Boom Mancini had done at the time, and a lot of other little towns are trying to do, you know, at this moment, okay? Now having the experience that you guys have, being recognized to the whole world, okay, Jack, and, you know, pretty much you can't really go anywhere around your neighborhood anymore without being stopped and asked the same repetitive question, who are you guys going to fight next? Can you look at things a little bit different from wanting to be in this position and now being in this position where you can give advice to anybody else that's looking to get in the position you're in at the moment?
Run. No. you know, it's a great position to be in, and I think if you learn to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good, I think you'll survive in this business. Anybody that gets in this business and makes it to the top, I think it's going to be all good still, and just because you train, as I am, the middleweight champ of the world, and there's never going to be no downfalls, and man, I'm on the top of the world, you know, be prepared for everything. It's a two-way street. And that's one thing I told Kelly when all this came about the other day, you know, be prepared. And, you know, I think, like I said, if you can handle the good with the bad and the bad with the good and just go about your business and know that when you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you made the right decision every day and the day before about everything we've done, I think it's a great position I'm in. And, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Jack, there's got to be a name, though, between you and Kelly that you guys are just tired of hearing. What is the question that most people ask you that you're just tired of hearing about? You know, where it's something that you just would like to get rid of, or you and Kelly are sitting back and say, you know, we need to fight this guy. I'm tired of hearing this guy's name.
Well, I mean, right now it's Paul Williams, you know. I mean, we, you know, but probably Arthur Abraham, you know what I mean? For really, but and believe me when I tell you, I don't know what reason we've never fought Paul Williams and Arthur Abraham, and it's never been our fault. It's never been on our side, and when I say our side, I mean me and Kelly. You know, for whatever reasons with the promoter, that never happened. I thought that would have been a great fight. You know, that's what the people wanted, and of course everybody says we didn't want it. Everybody says Abraham didn't want it. You know, all we do is fight who Bob Arum puts in front of us and who they're willing to pay us for. But it would probably have to be Arthur Abraham.
Harry, I know you said you wanted to fight your fight against Alfredo Angulo, you know, but in a way, Are you thinking Kermit Cintron is the blueprint, is the one I need to use? And Kermit Cintron really and honestly didn't do such a great, great job. There was a lot of flaws in what he did. And you're thinking, I could perfect that. I can make it even look better and nicer.
I mean, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you watch the fight, and, you know, you see how Kermit move Angle around and put him in positions that he wasn't used to, and the defense and the slipping. But, we're going to definitely look at that like we've been, and definitely try to take part of that, but we're going to turn it into my style, and we're going to make it even better, like you said. Can I make that better? Yes, we're going to make it even better. And I really feel that if we complete training camp the way it's been going and just go in there and take care of business the way we have our plan, I think it's going to come out good, you know? I mean, I'm not one to give predictions, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going in there to lose, brother.
Absolutely, man. Okay, I'm gonna hand it over to my co-host, Marlon Jordan, a.k.a. Blood, a.k.a. Iron Lung. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, what's up? Harry, man, let me ask you a question, man. Most of the questions that I wanted to ask already been asked, so I'm going to approach you like a true fight fan, and I'm going to say, you being a white boy, where you get all the soul from, bro?
You know, I wish my father was here right now, man, because, listen, you know, I'm not a prejudiced guy, man, and since I was a little kid, I mean, I'm talking 5-6 years old, my father would throw punches at me, and he would tell me, man, move your head, boy, keep that soul in you, keep that head moving, don't be standing there, and, I've been doing this, man, since I was a little kid, and, you know, people don't realize that. You know, I don't let guys just touch my kin solid. I roll, slip, you know, I'm gone, my speed. And that's funny, man. It's funny you say that because that's exactly what my father always told me since I was a little kid.
That's really what people are going to say when they look at your fight. They're going to be like, damn, look at this white boy right here. You know, that's how we talk, you know. So I definitely had to bring that question up. But is there any fighters you watch, like maybe a Pernell Whitaker? I mean, where did you get your style from, basically? Any fighters you got your style from?
I used to love watching Muzzy Caller fight. You know, my favorite fighter ever was Marvin Hagler, who wasn't really sick like that Hagler. But I loved watching Muzzy Caller and Parnell. And it just, you know, man, I don't know what it is. It's just I see shots, man, before they're coming, and I know which way to move. You know, and
right.
I don't know, man. I think it's just something that was instilled in me, something I was born with.
Hey, man, I heard you talking about your father. I heard you talk about your son, man. You sound like a very family-oriented guy, man. What keeps you motivated? Is it your family, man?
Well, I mean, listen, without a doubt, I mean, you know, who wants to jump in the ring and get punched for free? You know what I'm saying? I want to make that money, man. I want to make that millions, and I will make it. But I look at my little kids. You know, I got 4 kids, my wife and I, and I look at them every day, and I say, listen, you know, daddy's going to do this, and this is what daddy's going to do. And when I fight, the money I make, I realize that, you know, my kids can be better off than I was growing up. I mean, I wasn't, you know, poor, but, you know, I didn't have the money to go do what I wanted to do with my father and I and my mother. So my family motivates me more than anything in the world.
I heard that. Say everything go real smooth like you planned. You get through Angulo. You looking at maybe Cintron. Who you gunning for? What's the big picture? I know you probably don't like to look past your opponents, but there got to be something you looking at there, man. You're 30
right
now, so where we going from here?
I'm looking at the world title, man. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that are in the making, and don't get this twisted. I'll fight King Kong. You make the money right, King Kong, and I'll get in the ring, and I'm walking out as a winner. And, you know, I mean, it's as simple as that. I don't care who they bring. I mean, I'll jump. You know, I'll fight super middleweight. I don't care. And
I don't want no parts of you. I ain't trying to get out there and be embarrassed, man.
you know, hey. it's funny, man, because in camp, you know, in camp, Jack will tell you this straight out. When I come to the gym every day, it's like I'm the last day I'm ever going to train. I come there 100%, and that's how I work. And, you know, this camp, I added some things to it, you know, obviously with Jack and stuff he's bringing. And I added also a new program that I don't usually do supplements and stuff, and I added this thing called 8 Weeks Out. You know, it's a drink I make. It brings in nutrition. It brings in protein, carbs, I mean, anti-inflammatory for your muscles, and it's just perfect. And I think a lot of fighters, once they see this, they can start taking it too, man, and they're going to like it.
I heard that. Jack, I have a question for you. I don't think nobody asked, but what's Pavlik's mindset right now? Is he really motivated? Is he feeling down about not being able to get in the ring right now? What are you doing to keep him motivated?
Well, we actually worked out today. Harry was in the gym when Kelly was there. You know, most of what we could do is boxing-wise is only one-handed right now. So, you know, I'm concentrating on, you know, here's another thing people don't understand. You know, for the last 6 months, 7 months, you know, even if Kelly takes time off, he's usually either playing basketball, golfing. He loves to golf. He rides four-wheelers. He's always doing something. But, I mean, he has been inactive. And when I say inactive, I mean nothing. You know, for many, many, many months. So my main goal right now is just to get his physical strength back up. And, you know, once we're ready to make a, you know, make the fist and we're able to do that, we can worry about the boxing part. Mentally, after we finally got all this off our chest and, you know, we got this out to the media that it just wasn't going to happen. And I think that was really on Kelly's mind because, you know, first we're 8 weeks out and next thing you know, we're 7 weeks out. And Jesus, then come Saturday and Monday, we're going to be 6 weeks out. And it was like, you know, this is just getting too stressful on everybody. And I seen Kelly's mindset. And, you know, after yesterday compared to today, you know, there's just a whole new kid there. And all he wants to do is get healthy. And, you know, we can't help what the critics say and what everybody says. And, you know, we just got to get healthy. And we got to go prove to everybody that we'll be back.
Okay, I got a question for you, man.
Hold on, Blood. I'm gonna cut in real quick because I believe we have our PR, Jesse Reakin, on the line. And I think he has Alfredo Angulo with him. Jesse, are you there?
Yeah, hello. Epeco.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm here with Angulo.
Okay.
Alfredo, how are you doing? ¿Cómo está?
Muy bien, gracias.
He said he's good, thanks a lot. Now, does Alfredo know we have Mr. Jack Lowe and Harry Joe Yorgi on with us right now?
Yeah, Angulo, tú sabes que nosotros estamos hablando con Jack Lowe y Harry Joe Yorgi ahora, ¿verdad también?
Sí.
Sí, yeah.
Now, Alfredo, I want to ask you this because you had a lot of problems with Kermit Cintron, and I hope you don't think I'm being forward. You had a lot of trouble with Kermit Cintron, and they're saying they can do the same thing. Do you have anything to say in response to that?
Que tú tenías mucho problema con Cintron, no lo queremos decir como algo malo, pero que tú tenías problema con Cintron y ellos están diciendo que Harry puede ser el mismo. ¿Tú tienes algo a decir a eso?
Que tenía problemas con Trump, ¿de qué, perdón?
Con Cintron.
Sí, no, en la pelea.
Sí.
No, no tenía ningún problema con Cintron, simplemente que nosotros, como se comentó, nosotros estuvimos malos, hacernos 4 días antes de la pelea, así que no, eso no me, eso hizo que no estuviera, que no rindiera 100% arriba de
Rick. He said that he, there was no problems. He hurt his hand 4 days before the Cintron fight, and that's why he didn't give the performance he should have gave.
Now, Alfredo, what do you think of Harry Joe Yorgi as a fighter, in your own words? What do you think are his strengths?
¿Qué tú crees que son las cosas buenas de Harry Joe Yorgi? De un boxeo.
Sé que
de Harry Joe Yorgi, ¿quién tú vas a pelear?
Sí. Yo sé que es un gran peleador que le gusta tirar constantemente varias combinaciones de golpes y que maneja muy bien el ring, así que yo creo que es un gran peleador por algo que se mantiene invicto, así que creo que va a ser un pleito muy bueno.
He said that he thinks he's a great fighter. He has great ring control, and from what he heard, he hits with a lot of power, and he thinks it's going to be a great fight, and he's just looking forward to a great fight.
Now, Harry Joe, if there's anything right now you want to ask Alfredo Angulo, please go ahead and talk to Jesse Reakin, and he'll translate for you.
Nah, I mean, you know, listen, man, you know, I'm happy that him and I are fighting. You know, he's a top 10 fighter in the world. I'm number 4 in the world. He's number 5 in the world. And then he's also 4, and I'm 5 in the WBO. And I'm just glad. I mean, I want to fight the best in the world, and he's one of them, and I'm one of them. And I wish him the best of luck for him and his family, man. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Just tell Alfredo what he just said, man.
Él dijo que está, él quiere pelear contigo porque tú eres número 4 en el mundo, el número 5, y algunas veces el número 5, el número 4, y tú eres el número 5. y que tú eres un bien boxeador y te quieres pelear y vas y mucho suerte a tú y tu familia.
Igualmente, yo al contrario, le doy las gracias por aceptar el pleito y igualmente que toda su familia esté muy bien y espero que se haya preparado muy bien porque esa noche darle un buen espectáculo a la gente y a la gente que mire la pelea en sus casas por HBO.
He said, thank you, Harry. He said he wishes the same luck to you and your family. And just to be prepared on the night of the fight because he's ready to put on a spectacular show for everybody in the audience and everybody watching on television on HBO.
I have one more question for Alfredo real quick before I pass it on. Now, Alfredo, you had some difficulties with Cintron, and obviously everyone has watched that fight. Are you doing anything different in training now for this fight, knowing that people are probably looking at that fight as a reference?
Tú estás haciendo cosas diferentes ahora que tú sabes que a lo mejor la gente está mirando a pelear contra Cintron, como ellos te pueden ganar a ti.
De eso no tengo yo ningún problema. Desde los cambios que se han hecho o que hayamos hecho para esta pelea, el 7 de noviembre se van a ver arriba del ring.
He said he's not having no problems, everything's good, and November 7th they're going to see and go back in the ring.
Well, Lud, let's go back to you, man. Take it away.
Who you going back with me?
Yes, sir, you.
Oh, actually, you know, I wanted to ask just one more question about Kelly. If you don't mind, Mr. Jack, you still there?
Yes, sir.
There's been, like, I know I'm not one to believe everything I read, but there's been a lot of rumors out there that he's been enjoying the nightlife a lot. Is there any truth to that?
None whatsoever. You know, we've been trying to get ready for a fight for the last basically 3.5 months, and no, not at all.
Okay. That's pretty much about it. Ruff
is not on the line with us right now. How about, let's go with Strikeheart.
Yeah, I would like to ask Angulo a couple questions. I'll start by asking him if he regrets fighting, having obviously been ill for the fight, first of all. Jesse, can you translate that for me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if he regrets fighting having been ill against Cintron.
Él dijo que si tú lo podías hacer otra vez, si tú no ibas a pelear con Cintron porque tú estabas enfermo cuando tú lo peleaste con él. Si tú lo podías hacer otra vez, si no peleas con Cintron porque tú estabas enfermo cuando tú peleaste con Cintron o no estaba todo bien, no estaba 100%.
¿Yo podía haber parado la pelea?
No, si lo podía hacer otra vez, si no peleas con él, si hacer postponement en la pelea o pelear otra vez cuando estaba más, cuando tu salud estaba más.
Es que, mira, ya faltaban muy poquitos días para la pelea, únicamente faltaban 4 días para la pelea y yo creo que iba a ser una falta de respeto para la televisión, para HBO y para los fanáticos, iba a ser una falta de respeto el que yo parara la pelea, porque cuando yo iba a pelear con Mayorga, él se salió 10 días antes de la pelea y tuvimos bastantes problemas con eso, y así que yo no quería que pasara eso en esa función.
He said that when he did get hurt, it was 4 days before the fight, and he feels like it would have been disrespecting the sport and disrespecting HBO if he had pulled out of the fight. So no, he doesn't regret not pulling out the fight because he wanted to not let them down, because when he was supposed to face Mayorga pulled out with only 10 days left of the fight, and he feels like that was very disrespectful on his part.
Oh, well, you can let him know. I'll ask him one more question, and then after that, you can let him know. I appreciate that because, I mean, I saw his – one thing I always look for right away is a ring walk, and I could tell that Alfredo Angulo wasn't feeling very well during that ring walk. So I appreciate that he was still able to, or willing to go out there and fight, even having felt so ill, obviously. Ask him for me what he knows about Harry Joe Yorgi, or if he knows a lot about him, and what his plans are to come away with a win.
Okay. He dijo que gracias para pelear así, porque sabía que tú no estabas 100% cuando yo caminando a ring, cuando tú ibas contra Centron. Y también te quería preguntar, ¿qué tú sabes de Harry Joe Yorgi? ¿Y qué son los planes a ganarlo? Si tú sabes cosas de Harry Joe.
Como te digo, sé que es un gran peleador y que esa noche, el día 7 de noviembre, va a ser una gran noche para la gente que asista a ver la pelea y para la gente que mire el pleito en sus casas por HBO. Va a ser una gran pelea por la calidad que tiene Yorgi. Por algo se mantiene invicto y creo yo que es, va a ser un ingrediente muy bueno el estilo que tiene Yorgi y el mío, creo yo que se van a acoplar perfectamente para dar un buen show esa noche.
He said all he really he said all he knows is that he's a great champion and he feels like the style that Harry has will clash with the style that he has, and it would just make a great fight, and everybody in attendance and everybody watching will be the winners because they'll be winners in the very fight that night.
Fair enough. At this point, I'll pass it to Chris out of Sacramento. Go ahead, man. Ask your questions.
Yeah, first up, David, if you want to, if you have any questions for Jack or Harry, you might want to get those out the way and then, let those guys get going because I know we've had them on for quite a while.
Yes, sir. Actually, I think I'm going to let Ruff do that. Ruff, are you back on the line, brother?
I am, brother. Is my buddy El Perro? Is he on the line?
Yes, he is. And we've been keeping Harry Joe Yorgi and Mr. Jack Lowe on for a while. So is there anything else you would like to ask them before we should let them go?
No, I think we've had them on for some good time right here. Jack and Harry, thank you very much for coming on and leaving in the ring. I know we enjoyed having you guys on, and I hope you guys enjoyed, and hope you guys do come back again and talk to us more about some boxing.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys, man.
Good luck, guys.
Thanks for having us on, guys. I really appreciate it, man. I'll be looking forward to come back and talking on you, and I'm just appreciating that I'm fighting with HBO, man, so everybody check in, watch the fight.
Yes, sir.
Representing 484 like you are, man.
So ya tenemos el perro on the line, huh? ¿Qué pasó, perro?
¿Cómo estás?
Bien, 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 man. Primero quiero saber, ¿have you been out otra vez a hacer golfing o no?
Sí, pero te tengo un de este que ya, ahora sí, ya le sé pegar mucho mejor de lo que le pegaba.
Okay, well, history here real quick, guys, is that me and El Perro, we went out to support Lee Espinoza in his golfing tournament, and we were on the same team, and me and Angulo were out there. We were doing our thing and having a good time. It was both our first time playing golf, and Angulo had broke one of the clubs, okay? So, we had a great time and stuff. So, Jesse, you're obviously going to be the translator for us for leaving the ring. Jesse Reekin, one of our PRs. I'm going to go with the first question real quick. I only have like 2-3 questions for El Perro. obviously, everybody, any fight that he's going to be stepping in the ring now, everybody's going to be looking at that Cinturón fight, and they're looking at that as the roadmap to beat him. Is he in a way thinking, go ahead, because that's the wrong way of beating me? I had an off night that night.
Otra vez, estamos preguntando de Cinturón, si tú piensas, si alguien te está mirando como tú peleaste esa noche y ellos están diciendo, okay, eso es como yo lo puedo ganar al espejo, si tú estás pensando que es más bueno para ti, pero más era que tú no estabas 100% esa noche y si ellos vienen con el mismo estilo, ellos van a perder.
Pues, tú lo acabas de decir, eso creo que el pleito de Cintrón únicamente he visto yo dos rounds, porque el que está en el ring esa noche no es el perro que la gente conoce, así que si mis oponentes se van a guiar por ese video, yo creo que van a cometer un gran error.
He said that everybody that knows him knows that wasn't the regular Epejo in the ring that night, and if they want to go and do something like that and think that that's the way to beat him, go ahead, because it's a huge error on their part.
What's new in the training camp? Has he been tried? I mean, he went down to, I believe, Florida, right, to do his training. Why was there such a change of dramatic location?
¿Tú fuiste a Florida, a Slenan?
No, yo...
¿No?
Yo estoy entrenando en Los Ángeles y me hice la mitad de mi campamento aquí en Jersey, en la casa de Jerry.
No, he's training in Los Angeles and New Jersey.
Is there anything that he's upping in his training camp? I mean, he obviously had to watch that fight, and he's looking at, even though he said that he was sick, he was not 100%, but he's got to have watched it and say, you know what, I need to do something a little bit different. I need to put a little bit more pizzazz in what I'm doing.
Hay algo que tú hiciste diferente entrenando ahora después de ese pelea, porque sabes que tú no eras 100%, pero todavía tú tienes que ver esa pelea y pensar, hay algo diferente que yo puedo hacer, hay algo que yo puedo hacer más mejor.
Sí, hemos practicado bastantes cosas, pero ese es el trabajo de mi entrenador, enseñarme lo que yo tengo que hacer arriba del ring, y lo cual él lo ha hecho, él es el que se ha encargado de ver esta pelea y otras peleas y ver, tratar de pulirnos mejor cada día en el final.
Okay. He said yeah, you know, there's new stuff that they go over with, and that's really his trainer's job. His trainer watches the fight and sees what he did wrong, and he shows Angulo, and you know, that's really his job to motivate him every day and show him the mistakes that he made.
I hear you already stepping in the ring with him. Is Angulo feeling that this is a step back for him? Does he feel that maybe his promoters are not too confident about him right now because he's going from Cintrón to a guy that's not even known in the boxing community at this moment?
¿Estás pensando que ellos que el promoción te podría dar un pelea mejor de Harry Joe? Porque tú estás peleando Harry Joe y mucha gente en el mundo del boxeo no lo conoce a él. ¿Tú te sientes como ellos te mojaban para atrás porque tú perdiste a Central?
No. Al contrario. El que mucha gente no conozca el nombre de Yogi no quiere decir que no sea un gran peleador. Su récord lo dice, tiene 22-0. Si fuera un peleador ordinario o un peleador más, creo yo que no llevara ese récord. Hay infinidad de boxeadores que tienen tremenda calidad, pero que la gente los desconoce, y creo yo que Yorgi es uno de ellos, y el día 7 de noviembre arriba del ring creo yo que lo va a demostrar dando un gran combate ante mí.
He said no, he said the exact opposite. He thinks that Yorgi is a great fighter. He feels like his record speaks for itself. It's 22-0. He feels like if he was a so-so or a bad boxer, he wouldn't have that record. And he feels like there's a lot of great boxers out there that people just don't recognize their name. He feels that Yorgi's one of them. So it's just going to be a great combat on November 7th.
Okay, well, how about this, though? I mean, I hear what he's saying about the, there's a lot of great fighters out there that people don't know about, but what if he blows this guy out in a round? Then the assessments of this guy not being a great fighter, not being a valid opponent, would have to stick, wouldn't it? How would he explain that, then, if he blows him out in one round?
Él dice que él sabe que tú estás diciendo que tú sabes que tiene un récord de 22-0 y tú crees que es un gran campeón, pero la gente no lo conoce. Pero y si tú lo ganas en uno round, y si tú lo vas en el primer round, tú lo noqueas, y gente te dice, oh, eso porque él no era un boxeador tan bueno. ¿Cómo, qué tú crees de eso si tú vas allí y tú lo ganas en un round?
Pues, como tú, primeramente Dios, ojalá y salgamos con la mano en alto, pero creo que no va a ser el primero ni el único rival que enfrente. Hemos enfrentado a rivales de gran nivel, como lo ha sido Gutiérrez, Asha, Tolkien, y mi última pelea de este Gabriel Rosado. Y el que se hayan acabado pronto las peleas, eso no quiere decir que ellos no sean grandes peleadores. Simplemente así es el boxeo. Se prepara uno meses y el día de la pelea todo se puede acabar con un solo golpe, como en el primero o en el último round.
Okay, he said, you know, he hopes to God that he goes in and he leaves with it, they raise his hand at the end of the match, but he doesn't feel like he'll knock him out in the first round like he did with Gabriel. He said, but even so, it's just how it happens in boxing. You train for 3 months and one hurt could take you out in any round. So it's just the boxing world, and that doesn't mean that Gabriel is not a great fighter, and it doesn't mean that other boxers are not great fighters who would get knocked out early or lose.
What does he want? Would he be happy? Does he want to get rounds, or does he want to knock him out right away?
¿Tú lo quieres noquear o tú quieres ganar por decisión? ¿Qué tú crees que tú vas a hacer?
Pues yo nunca hago predicciones. Yo siempre me preparo. Si es para pelear 10 o 12 rounds, yo me preparo para pelear 12 rounds. Si el pleito se acaba antes, pues más que mejor. Pero yo voy a pelear 12 rounds. Si se acaba antes, pues qué bueno.
He said he doesn't make predictions. He feels he gets ready. He goes there prepared to fight 12 rounds. If it ends before the 12th round, that's great, but he's prepared to fight the whole 12.
Pues, Angulo, gracias otra vez. Me voy a pasarlo con otro. We're going to give it to, we're going to pass it over to Strikeheart, and then Strikeheart start asking Perro. So go ahead, Strikeheart, and do your thing, brother.
I actually already did. I think Chris was getting ready to ask a few questions, though. No, it's not a problem, but go ahead, Chris.
All right. The first question I have is actually from our boy Rob. He wants to know if Angulo feels any pressure, or if he feels like it's almost his duty to carry the fights for the Mexican fighters and for the Mexican people. You know, kind of if he feels any pressure from that, or how he feels about that. And also, what was the reaction, or how was he received after his last bout?
You're talking about against Gabriel. You're talking about against Cintron.
I mean, after the Cintron fight.
Okay. ¿Quieres saber si la gente de México te está poniendo como tú sientes que necesita ganar para México? ¿Tú sientes este pressure que ellos te están poniendo? Y también, ¿cómo la gente te atletearon después que tú pediste a Cintron?
Pues, yo no siento presión alguna. Sé que estoy representando a México. Es algo natural eso para mí. Siempre lo he hecho, representar a México. Y cómo me ha tratado la gente después de mi derrota ante Cintron.
Sí.
La gente sabe y se dio cuenta que no estuvimos al 100% y nadie, absolutamente nadie de la gente que sigue al perro le dio la espalda. Todos han estado ahí y creo que la victoria pasada en agosto les volvió a reiterar que no estaban equivocados en seguirme apoyando.
He said that he feels like he's proud to carry Mexico. He's always had that pride to be a Mexican fighter, so he doesn't feel pressure. He also said that everybody that follows his career, they knew that he wasn't 100% against that Cintron fight, and not one fan, not one person that's ever followed him has turned their back on him after the Cintron fight. And he feels like after his fight in August, he redeemed himself and he showed what he can really do in the ring.
All right. I've heard people say going into the Cintron fight, he was moved too fast. You know, maybe he shouldn't have put up at that level of a fighter. Regardless of, you know, whether he was feeling ill or not, I'm just curious if he thinks that maybe he was pushed or put in that fight a little too early in his career, you know, if he thinks that he was ready for it at the time.
Okay, dijo que he oído mucha gente diciendo que a mejor ellos te pusieron muy rápido a pelear con Cintron. Y sabe que tú estabas enfermo, pero a mejor que te tenía que esperar un poco de más de tiempo. ¿Qué tú crees de eso?
Yo creo que nosotros estamos listos para pelearle a quien sea. Me ha tocado ser sparring y tengo el gusto de haberle ayudado a grandes peleadores del mundo, como lo es Roy Jones Jr., Ricky Han, Carlos Valdomir, Antonio Margarito, infinidad de boxeadores que he tenido la oportunidad de boxear con ellos y yo creo que no es que me hayan puesto precipitadamente con Cintron, simplemente no se dieron las cosas esa noche por lo que sea, así tenía que pasar y así pasó, pero nosotros seguimos adelante. Eso no quiere decir que no hayamos estado listos. Nosotros, Cintron tiene una cabeza, dos manos y dos piernas, al igual que yo.
He said that he feels that he could fight with the best of them in the world. He doesn't feel like it was pushed too fast. He's sparred with Roy Jones Jr., Ricky Haddon, Antonio Margarito. He says he could box with the best of them. And he doesn't feel that his promotion did the wrong thing by putting him in there with Cintron. He said he just lost for whatever reasons he lost, and that's the way that things had to happen. But he feels like he could go in there with the best of them.
All right, my last question is: I recently talked to Hector Camacho Jr. Interviewed him, and he said that he said Angulo was overrated. You know, he put on TV, he was exposed. I'm just curious if he has any response to that at all, if he even cares about that, and if Camacho Jr. is the guy he would like to get in the ring with.
Nosotros hicimos, él hizo una entrevista con Camacho Jr. y Camacho Jr. dijo que él cree que la gente piensa que tú eres mejor que tú eres, que tú no eres tan bueno, y que tú crees de eso, si eso te importa. Y Camacho Jr., ¿alguien que tú quieres pelear con un día?
Camacho Jr. es una persona indisciplinada. No tengo el gusto de conocerlo en persona. No me interesa sinceramente los comentarios que él haga. Como te vuelvo a repetir, él es una persona indisciplinada. Él es alguien que si la gente lo conoce en el boxeo es por su papá, no por la trayectoria que él desarrolló o haya desarrollado hasta ahorita, sino por el nombre de su papá.
Okay.
Yo he hecho mi trabajo por mí mismo y lo mucho o poco que yo haya logrado hasta ahorita lo he logrado yo solo, no trasciendo de una familia boxística. Yo soy el único boxeador de toda mi familia, así que él puede decir lo que lo que él quiera, no más que se recuerde que no debe abrir mucho la boca, porque le puede pasar lo mismo que le pasó a su papá con Julio César Chávez.
He said that Camacho Jr. is not relevant. He doesn't care about any interviews that Camacho Jr. does. He feels that Camacho Jr. just got a name because of his father, and without his father, he wouldn't have been a name, so he could say whatever he wants. But if he keeps running his mouth, he's going to get the same treatment that his father got against Julio César Chávez.
Oh, man. All right. That's all I got. David, you want to go ahead and take it over?
Yeah, brother. Well, honestly, Alfredo, you know, we've covered everything. We really appreciate you coming on to the show today. Honestly, the only thing we can say is have a good fight.
Gracias por venir. Tu contaste todo lo pregunta que nosotros tenía para ti. Y mucho suerte cuando tú estás peleando el 7 de noviembre.
No, al contrario, muchas gracias por tomarnos en cuenta y se los agradezco mucho y estén pendientes el día 7 de noviembre. Va a ser una gran cartelera y cuídense mucho y que Dios los bendiga.
Gracias. He said thank you for putting him on the show. Pay attention November 7th because it's going to be a great fight, and keep your eyes open for Epeco.
Definitely. Take care of yourself, Alfredo.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Well, that was our guest. You know, everybody came through. You know, what do you guys think of the interviews? We'll go with Blood. What do you think of Jack Lowe, Harry Joe Yorgi, this fight coming up, or maybe what Jack Lowe said about Pavlik?
Oh, man, I enjoyed the interview with both of them, man. You know, I'm looking forward to the upcoming fight. It sounds to me as though Pavlik and his people just are a little tired of, you know, what everybody's been saying. There's been a lot of rumors going around, and, you know, he put those to rest real quick. Of course, he's going to defend his fighter. But, I guess we'll just see him when he's ready to go. He has to look out for the best interest of his fighter. He doesn't want to see his fighter hurt, doesn't want to put him in there when he feels that he'll be at the disadvantage. So he wants him 100% healthy. So, you know, we'll just see what happens from here.
You know what's interesting is obviously, you know, Kelly Pavlik, he's one of the top fighters right now. He's got a name, and everybody talks about him, whether it is good or bad. And I'm just curious as to why Kelly himself, where Jack Lowe doesn't just come out in the public and talk about some of this stuff more regularly and to settle the rumors, you know, because, like I said, I was reading articles today. We're talking about front page ringtv.com or Yahoo News, just something everybody reads that says Kelly Pavlik is sick and has been hospitalized. But, you know, he says it's not true. And, you know, I'm just wondering, it's kind of curious how he doesn't just come out and address some of this stuff personally more often, where maybe he gave up. I mean, Strikeheart, what do you think?
I think what you just said has been maybe the biggest failing of the Pavlik camp is just that they seem so closed off. And that only makes it more frustrating when, you know, Kelly Pavlik's only had two pretty insignificant defenses of his title, really. And, you know, a catchweight fight with Jermaine Taylor and then his loss to Bernard Hopkins. It's just been a really not a non-exciting title reign for him so far. And you'd think that they would want to jump out in front of everything, especially like he said, he's tired of hearing about Arthur Abraham. Well, get out in front of it, because honestly, over the past couple of years, two or three years, I can recall numerous occasions where I've seen Arthur Abraham run his mouth about Kelly Pavlik, but I can't really remember Kelly Pavlik saying much other than I'll fight whoever they put in front of me. You know what I'm saying? So I think they've kind of let the story get made about their camp. They need to get out in front of that and make the story. That's been a huge failing of their camp. Hopefully, you know, maybe coming on our show tonight is kind of like a wake-up call to them, like, hey, man, just get out there and answer the questions. It kind of relieves a little bit of the frustration.
Absolutely. Hold that thought, because I want to come back to this, but let's have a quick break real quick for a few minutes. Everybody get up, stretch, and do what you got to do, get a drink, and then we'll be back in a few minutes. And I'm going to throw on something from the old school for our guests Blood and Chris. This should take them way back. how you guys doing. Now, Strikehearts, I got to hand it to you because you pulled no punches when it came to asking Jack Lowe, you know, trainer Jack Lowe, the difficult questions, man.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta put your money where your mouth is. I've been very vocal, so I'm not one to run away from a question, but I like to think that I do it in a respectful way as well. So that's kind of the angle I approach it from.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, you got to ask these questions, and you know, and that was why I asked my last question, which is, you know, they see questions like this on the forums, you know. The boxing fans, the journalists, they all talk about it. So I wonder why they don't just go out there, you know, get a press release out there and just settle these things as they come up. But I want to change subjects real quick with you, you know, because Harry Joe Yorgi, he's from your part of the neighborhood. And, you know, are you familiar with his work, you know, before he was on the Hearns fight? And, you know, what do you think about
him? No, to be honest, no word of mouth around here whatsoever. But doesn't surprise me, man. I'm a boxing fan and an ocean full of MMA fans, so that really doesn't surprise me. It's really, I mean, I can't even explain to you how crazy it is for this guy to go from fighting in Phoenixville High School, which I know of. I didn't live here for high school, but it's not a big venue. I mean, it's just a little rinky-dink high school. To go from that to 2 years later fighting Ronald Hearns is pretty impressive. So, I mean, he's done well for himself. He'll probably start making a name for himself at this point. But, yeah, boxing isn't really all that big around here, to be honest. I don't have a whole lot of people to communicate with.
I guess, in a way, you know, being picked by Angulo's people as a possible opponent and a stepping stone is probably the best thing that's going to happen to him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, he's made the most of an opportunity like this one time. So, obviously, he's going to try and do it twice. And maybe then, you know, he'll get to choose an opponent for himself.
Yeah.
Or
I guess all I
challenge
can say
for
is,
a title,
you know,
which is obviously his goal. So.
Right. I mean, from what you're saying, you know, coming from fighting in a high school and remaining undefeated and blowing out somebody who they thought was just going to, you know, beat him no problem, and now getting this shot, this is it, you know. He's getting his shot, and you know we gotta wish him luck because you know he was a very nice, you know, very good guy, great guest, very
right.
gracious, and we wish him the best. Obviously,
I mean,
I think we got Ruff back on the line, bro. You there?
Sure.
What's up, Ruff?
Hey man, how you doing out there?
You know, I'm living, man. I'm over here trying to take care of, like I said, some business. I apologize. I can't be on. I want to be on. I feel like I'm cheating on my old lady right now because I'm not on.
Well, let me ask you this, you know, like, first of all, what do you think about Harry Joe Yorgi? And also, why do you think, you know, Mr., you know, trainer Jack Lowe and Kelly Pavlik, you know, why don't they come out and be more outspoken? Because people talk about them all the time, spreading rumors, things like that. Why don't they be the ones come out to dispel some of these rumors?
Well, I'll try to first off, you know, I mean, really, I come from the city, but I know people that are from small towns, and really, you know, even though small towns, everybody knows about everybody's business, they really try to keep to themselves. And that could be probably something that he grew up with, you know, Jack Lowe and Kelly Pavlik, where they're just not really keen on talking a lot of smack, you know. So they're just going to allow people to do whatever they're going to do because they're used to being in an environment where everybody's, you know, whispering and pointing, you know. And you know, it's part of that nature. I mean, you can't bang on them because they don't want to come out and be vocal in the public about what's going on. You know, all you can do is keep making assumptions and having them on the, having, well, Jack Lowe on the radio show, we pick at those assumptions and find out if there's any facts behind them where they're no longer just accusations, you know. So it is what it is. What can you do, man? It's boxing, you know what I mean? I've always said it, you know. Boxing has some dirty folks, but what sport doesn't? You know, baseball, basketball, football, soccer, it has some dark spots about those sports as well, you know. So, but talking about Alfredo Angulo and Harry Yogi, I mean, he's right. You know, this kid could be overlooked at because he's coming from Pennsylvania and, you know, it's not a big fight community. It's not one of the meccas
of where people are going to come out of, you know, of training camp. But, hey, that's where we'll start with Kelly Pavlik as well, too. You know, when I saw that kid for the very first time, the reason why, you know, he said they had interviewed him back in Ring Magazine. And said, why don't you look at your opponents? And he said, because they're there calling me a white boy, they laugh at me until we step in the ring, they have a change of heart. Well, Yogi might have that type of statement about him, too. You know, and Angulo sounds fair enough of understanding that this is a fight game. Anything can happen. Any man with two arms, fists, two legs, eyes, and one brain has a chance of defeating you. Now, whether Harry can do it, I don't know. But a lot of times, when you have a promotional backing you up the way Gary Shaw backs up Angulo, I highly doubt it that they're going to put one of their money makers, who they were anticipating to be a major, major pay-per-view draw, in the right away with somebody that's going to be a world beater like Harry. So I'm going to lean toward that this is just something to get his confidence back. This is something that's just good enough that's going to give the appetizer to the fans that are trustworthy fans of Angulo, the perro, the little perros, the chihuahuas, that they're going to be happy. Their tongues are going to be hanging out when Angulo knocks out this kid. That's what I'm assuming, you know. And Harry's going to be able to go back to Pennsylvania and have a good story at a barbecue or at a pub. Say, yeah, I was in there with that guy, and he knocked me out. I don't know. Let me ask you this. I mean, this is out of boxing, guys, you know, but I was telling this to Art the other day. I live over here in Modesto, California. Obviously, we're all in a recession. Times are hard. You know, everybody's tightening up their wallets, et cetera, da-da-da-da-da, right? Well, this is how much times is hard. I go to the liquor store, which actually is the local gas station, go in there, I buy myself two beers. It was $5, okay? It was like four something, so I give the girl $5. And tell me if this has ever happened to anybody. That counterfeit marker that they use, that yellow marker that they use on $100 bills, well, they check the $5 bill.
Oh, we got a spender here.
I gave her this look like, are you kidding me? Like, it's gotten that bad that now dudes, ballers, and stuff are actually counterfeiting $5 bills? Wow. I just thought I'd share that with you guys because that was hilarious. Now, I wasn't able to be completely on and was able to listen to all the questions and answers from Jack Lowe, but if I'm pretty sure that you guys asked him the questions that all hardcore fans wanted, and which is one of them would probably be, why don't you guys want to fight Paul Williams? What was his answer?
He basically just said that they would like to fight Paul Williams, but they can't because Kelly's hand isn't ready yet, and it won't be ready for a while. He's pretty much just letting us know that they're still interested in the fight, but they can't do it now. That's as far as I got.
Wow. You know what I mean? You know, going back to Harry, he sounds like a confident kid. He sounds like a kid that's determined. I heard he's a godly person, you know, and he's going to be putting his trust in the Lord to hopefully get in there and be able to maybe semi or overdo it. Because you could do that, too. You could overdo the blueprint. You could darken the lines a little bit too much that it blurs up your vision when you're looking at it. I don't know if anybody's looked at a picture where it has just too many colors, so it's too loud. And there's a possibility that Yogi could do that. He could put a little bit too much added seasoning to the steak. Too much salad dressing on the salad where it drowns it, and it's not any good. Where it sways the judges to judge more on the pressure fighter, Angulo. So he's got to be really careful on doing what he's going to do if he plans to follow Curtis Cintron blueprint. You obviously want to go in there with a good solid blueprint and finish off the job that he has started, but you don't want to overdo it where it looks like you're running throughout most of the fight, because we obviously saw that a little bit too much running can get you a little bit lesser points on your scorecard. What do you think about that, Blood?
Yeah, I agree, man. You know, I think I can't say it any better, bro. I agree with what you said.
You know, Strike Club,
what?
Coming out of Pennsylvania, you know, I know you moved down from there, if I'm correct, from New Jersey, right? You were down in the East Coast, still up in the East Coast. But
Yeah, right across from Staten Island, up in North Jersey.
And seeing that this guy's getting the opportunity of a lifetime, really, because this is what contenders need. You know, this is what boxers have to have, that added dream that they work so hard for, to get in the ring to shine. You know, and being from up there where you said it yourself, you know, it's not a real big fight community. There's not a lot of people in tune into the game. You don't get that neighbor that comes across and goes, "Hey, did you see the fight last night?" Where exactly do you feel that it hurts a guy that's training out of there, that comes out of that side of the state or the country?
It hurts him in the fact that he doesn't have the apparatus around him. I mean, he finally landed a semi-well-known, trainer at this point with Jack Lowe. It seems like even if he's to lose his fight, Jack Lowe's going to train him for at least a little while, which is good news for him because that's at least a name everybody recognizes. But, I mean, it can be a benefit to him, really, too, because, I mean, I live in this area, and I've never heard anybody mention his name. The first time I heard about him was when he was on Showtime. He fought at a high school that's not very far away from where I live. Didn't hear a thing about
it.
he's going from, like, fighting Spider Ricos, not quite to Apollo Creed yet, but, I mean, he's getting up there. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I agree with you, man. You know what? I want to ask 916 Chris a question. You know, being that Jack Lowe, obviously, I asked him the question of, you know, having his pupil, being the middleweight world champion. You think in a little bit of in a way that this fight really is a testing for Jack Lowe's training, his regimens, and how he trains fighters? Because if this guy loses in a blowout of one or two rounds, gets knocked out, who do you think would be criticized more, Jack Lowe or Harry?
Interesting question. Knowing, I don't know, it depends. If it was Strike Hearts or Riddler, it's probably going to be Jack Lowe. But I don't know, man. I mean, Yorgi, aside from the Hearns fight, he hasn't really made a name for himself, you know. And after this fight, it may say more about Hearns than it does about Yorgi. But I don't know. Like you said, I don't think Gary Shaw is going to put Angulo in with any kind of threat. He doesn't want what happened in that Cintron fight to happen again, you know. He sees a lot of potential, a.k.a. dollar signs, in Alfredo Angulo, and I don't think he's going to put him in with the kid that he thinks really going to threaten him. I think he's putting him in with the kid that he thinks Angulo's style fits perfectly. He's going to make for an action-packed fight, but something that Angulo's going to look impressive in. But, you know, I don't know. People will criticize a fighter. People will criticize a trainer. I just think Angulo's the better fighter, so I'm not going to come down on either. I mean, Lowe's only had this one fight, I think, to work with the kid, so how much improvements can you really make at that point? He's had Kelly Pavlik his whole career, so I'm not going to criticize either guy at this point.
Hey, Ruff, we got Jesse Reekin on the line. You know, I think he's got some thoughts on this.
Who cares what Jesse's got to say? I don't care what he's got to say. What's up, Jesse? Go ahead, brother. What you got to say, man?
Nah, Ruff, I think you're bugging on this one. I think you're calling a blowout way too early. Yorgi actually has a good shot in this fight.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that it is going to be a blowout, but what if it is? What if it is a blowout? Then where do we go from there? And that's why I'm going down to is, do you blame the trainer, Jack Lowe, who is a marquee name right now in the boxing community? You got to admit, you know, near Jack Lowe, it's not like hearing, you know, original Joe. You're not going to know who that is, but Jack Lowe, you're going to know who he is. So who's the blame for if this kid does lose? You know, and you got to think, too, a little bit that, just like I mentioned earlier, and you got Chris here backing up what I'm saying, Gary Shaw, who's the promoter, and we know promoters, come on. You think they're going to want to put their money bag in a bank that doesn't have bars and security? I don't think so.
Yo, they did it with Cintron.
That, you know what, you're right. But I think that they had really felt that their money bag was really heavy enough that nobody was going to be able to lift it up because they thought they had gold chips in that bag.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, they might think one thing, but it doesn't always turn out that way. I mean, I guess that's what Jesse is trying to say, is that, you know, maybe they got it wrong again.
Hey, you know what? It's a huge possibility, and I'm hoping that it is a lot deeper of a test for Angulo or even for Harry if he's able to get the upset, because it takes us back to those eras of contenders fighting contenders and taking each other out. You know, I mean, that's why we're so excited about this, you know, six-man tourney, because of the fact that these guys, even though they lose, they still have a shot of still fighting. They still have a shot of redeeming themselves, you know. That's what, you know, even having seen Andre Durrell lose and you saw, you know, the way he went out, you were still really not, I was not deeply upset about it because I was like, well, there's a big possibility he can redeem himself. There's a huge possibility he can come back anyway, and he showed a lot to me that he belonged in this tournament. You know, where Angulo and Harry, let's say Harry gives him a valid, you know, a fight, or let's say he even beats him but doesn't get it. Bad part about that is you probably will never hear about Harry again.
Right.
You know?
I'll say this, though. You know, you were talking about who gets the blame. I think if Harry loses this fight, Jack Lowe gets the blame, because people are going to look for a reason to go after Jack Lowe, because, you know, right now with Pavlik pulling out of fights and things like that, people are really going after Pavlik and his camp, and it's going to be one of those things where, oh, you know, I guess Jack Lowe only has one good fighter. You know, that, you know, people are right now looking for reasons to diss the Pavlik.
And is
right
that
now.
Fair, though? Is that really, honestly,
it's
is that
fair?
Fair
it's
because...
not fair, because he's only had him for one fight. It's not fair, because, you know, the fighter is the one in there doing the fighting.
Well, even the fact that him having him for one fight, we're going back with Kelly Pavlik, you know, everybody's upset because he's not taking that fight that everybody wants to see, which is the Paul Will. Well, they're saying they're not taking it, but is it fair to even bag on him because this fight didn't materialize, when in all honesty, he's the trainer. He's not the manager. He's not the promoter. He's not the guy that signs the checks. He's the guy that laces the gloves on his fighter and sends him out to work. Is it fair?
I mean, no, it's not fair because, you know, if he says, I don't feel like my guy's ready because he's been inactive, he hasn't been training because of his injuries, I don't want him to fight right now, you know, we're going to have to accept that because, you know, eventually they might all prove us wrong. You know, if they want to prove us wrong, they can do one thing, which is come next year early in the spring, go make that Paul Williams fight when they're ready. And, like, as soon as that happens, they can just go ahead and say eat your words to everybody that criticized them up to that point, you know. So right now, you know, I guess you can just be the kind where, you know, you say, well, you know what, I'm gonna take their word for it. I'm not gonna say anything. You can call it what you want. Me personally, I never said, you know, Kelly Pavlik nor Jack Lowe is avoiding anybody. You know they fought some tough fights to get the championship, and they're having an off year. It happens in boxing. So we'll see. That's my position.
Well, let's find out. Let's see how forgiving you think a hardcore fight fan should be. Let's go with Rob Riller. What do you think, Rob? You know, should a hardcore fight fan be forgiving for him not going in with Paul Williams, or not right now saying, "Yeah, I'm hurt, but I want him." This fight's not gonna, you know, just fly into the wind like a whistle. This fight's gonna happen.
I think Riddler turned in for the night. You might have to give that to somebody else.
Oh, that's right. This past his bedtime. I'll just go with Jesse Reagan.
Jesse Reagan. I believe turned in as well.
Oh man, I forgot they're roommates.
They're the same guy, actually. Remember?
It is the same guy.
So, hey, this is a Jesse. I think you're wrong, Ruff.
Hey, that's why they call me 97. Because on 97 of the time, I'm right. All right, well, let's go with Strikeheart, man. You know what's bothering Strikeheart? What do you got? Strike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother.
All right, cool. We're talking about who's to blame for Kelly Pavlik not fighting people.
No, I'm saying the taller. We're going with the...
Hello? Hello?
It's more like, you know, if Harry loses his fight, should Jack Lowe get the blame? Should Jack Lowe get the blame for, you know, Kelly not being able to fight, things like that, you know, is he, you know...
Oh, okay, yeah. I have to apologize, man. My phone's been acting up. I got kicked out once, and I'm back, and then I couldn't hear you. But here we go, Harry Joe Yorgi. Who gets to blame? I mean, it would be a little bit too soon to blame Jack Lowe all the way if Harry Joe Yorgi loses. I think it's much more important for Harry Joe Yorgi, win or lose, to not look bad and certainly do everything in his power not to let himself get knocked out. Because if he wants to remain, you know, somebody who can fight an Alfredo Angulo, then he can't go in there and get himself knocked out early in the fight, because that'll be the last we ever hear of him. It's not even so much important that he wins as much as he looks good. Like, you were just talking about Andre Durrell. He lost, but, I mean, there was some promise that we saw there, and if he had done things just a little bit differently, he could have certainly won that fight. So if we see a performance like that from Harry and he loses but doesn't look terrible, that can only be good for him, even with the loss. That's my feeling. I mean, if
Harry
he was to lose, it'd be his fault, though.
You think essentially Harry's fighting to stay on TV and to get fans?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he wants to win, but I think even more important than winning is that he realized that this is an opportunity for him in the future. I mean, Alfredo Angulo, no matter what happens, we'll see him again on TV, even if he gets knocked out in the first round. That's not going to be something he really needs to worry about. But Harry, he can't go do that. He's got to be a lot more careful. And it sounded like, you know, when we talked to him about his Ronald Hearns fight, that's kind of exactly what he did in that fight. Styles are way different there, but he seems to be cautious enough to realize that he needs to test this guy out for the first part of the fight before he tries to pull any sneaky stuff. So, but I mean, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I'm not ready to say who will win or lose. If I had to pick somebody right now, I'd probably go with Angulo, but I'm not ready to rule Harry Joe out. I think he stands a pretty good chance, actually. It just depends more on whether or not he can withstand that constant pressure, because Ronald Hearns certainly didn't do that. So
now,
that's the big question mark.
Do you think the Pavlik camp, trainer Jack Lowe, Pavlik himself, deserved the criticism of pulling out of these fights, you know, with Sergio Mora and twice with Paul Williams, you know?
I do, actually. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he is very, very concerned that what happened against Bernard Hopkins doesn't happen again, almost to a point where maybe he's doing damage to his fighter's career. I mean, I thought Sergio Mora would be a pretty easy fight for Kelly Pavlik, to be honest.
Absolutely.
So I really can't understand why they would have pulled out of that fight. There had to have been Bernard Hopkins is one thing, but you can't apply that same rule to Sergio Mora. We see fighters going all the time with rumored injuries, and you know, fighters aren't going to be in top shape all the time. They spar for a couple months before the fight, so it's natural that they come in with some kind of bumps and bruises. I think that Kelly's being way too protected right now, and it's very frustrating because, for me, the middleweight division was pretty exciting just a while ago, and now it's pretty much dead. Anybody interesting in that division has left.
Yeah, man, we had what, 3-4 belt holders at one point. They were all pretty good fighters, but they never ended up fighting each other, right? You got Abraham and Sturm in Germany. They never fought each other, and neither of them fought Pavlik and back and forth, and now nothing is happening.
It's like exactly the opposite of what we're getting out of super middleweight division, which is what you could hope that would happen everywhere. But in the middleweight division, it was so bad that everybody had to leave if they wanted to get a good fight.
Blood, you're always outspoken about, you know, Kelly Pavlik. What would you think about what Jack Lowe said? You know, and what we're talking about here, you know, should they be blamed for a lot of the criticism they receive in the press?
At this point, man, I think that one of the questions y'all brought up was, should the fight fans forgive Pavlik and his camp for not taking the fight? Is that the question that was asked originally, I believe?
Yeah.
And I just think that, it depends on, you know, how true everything is, man. If he's not ready and, you know, he feels like he isn't 100%, then, you know, there's been fighters in the past who go in there with a hurt rib, you know, different fighters. It depends on who the fighter is. But, you know, Paul Williams, like his trainer was saying yesterday, he went into a fight injured and he just kind of kept it under the table. But, you know, if he feels like he's not 100% and he needs to be 100% to perform, then, yeah, wait. You know, you can't worry about if the fight fans are going to be forgiven or not, because only that man knows what he's capable of doing. You know, I can't step into his shoes. I don't know what he's capable of doing. I don't know if he needs to be at 100%. So I can't really speak on that right there. I just think that obviously he ain't ready to get in the ring. So he's not getting in there. And, you know, we're not the ones in there taking the punches. He is. So, you know, I have to look at that too.
Well, I'll say this much. I mean, is it really fair for fight fans to – I won't say hate, but, you know, I guess dislike or criticize fighters when they, you know, I mean, honestly, Pavlik didn't even sign the contract yet, I don't think. You know, they're saying we want to fight Paul Williams and we'll try to make it happen, but it just turns out that it can't happen right now. And they say, well, you know, we're going to postpone it until we can do this. And it seems like a lot of the fight fans feel like that Pavlik had insulted them or wronged them in some way, that the Pavlik people had taken something away from them. I mean, is that really fair? You know,
he's holding up progress, though. That's the frustration. I mean, if you can't perform for this long, because Marco Antonio Rubio is basically like it was supposed to be something that got his confidence back from Bernard Hopkins. It wasn't supposed to be a legitimate title defense. I would like to have a middleweight champion of the world that I feel like is the middleweight champion of the world, not just some guy who's sitting on a belt and won't fight.
Well,
I mean,
honestly,
if you honestly can't fight for this long against a significant opponent, then okay, vacate the belt and come back when you're ready. But don't hold up the whole world so you can sit on a belt and make everybody wait to see who's the middleweight champ. Because Pavlik has done some great stuff coming up, and then beating Jermaine Taylor was an amazing thing for him. But
I don't know if he's fully to blame for that, because it's the organization who, you know, they used to strip fighters in the past when they were inactive for so long. So if they're going to let him keep the belt, then hey, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, he can play a game where he just does mandatory defenses once a year and keep that belt forever. I don't really think that's fair to us.
Well, that's not really his fault. That goes back into politics of boxing, which is all messed up anyways.
Right.
Chris, what do you think about all this, man? Stop talking to girls in the chat room and get back on the show. Tell us what you think.
What? What's going on?
Exactly.
I have no idea what's going on. No, I mean, all I'm hearing about is Pavlik and Jack Lowe. I don't know. I mean, I'm with Jack Lowe. You know what I'm saying? Protect your fighter. I mean, the man got completely undressed by Bernard Hopkins. Do you really want him to go into a Paul Williams fight, whether it's physically or mentally not confident? I don't know what's going on outside the ring. Jack Lowe wasn't giving any hints. You know, he makes it sound like everything's fine over there. I'm not really going to buy that. But, I mean, you don't want Kelly Pavlik going in there not 100%, because Paul Williams will school him, and, you know, that's just going to hurt his future. You know, you don't want him to be the next Jermaine Taylor. You know, like a Strikeout said, Bernard Hopkins be putting this spell on all these guys or something. So, I mean, I think it's best to look out for your fighter. You know, forget what the public says. Forget what the fans think. You know, at the end of the day, that's your fighter, you know, and that's the guy you're looking out for, you know. If I had a friend, you know, I'm looking out for them. I don't care what anyone else says, you know. I'm just like, you know, you just listen to what I say and you'll be all right.
I agree.
Real quick, though, is anyone going to watch these fights? There's some fights on Showbox tonight. I don't really know too many of these dudes, Freddie Hernandez, and looks like just a typical Showbox, like a young guy's coming up against some possible veterans. I don't know if anyone has any info on it. I know I'm going to watch it, even though I got to wait.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it, definitely.
Yeah, man, I mean, it's you know, the winner will probably end up, you know, coming back on again, and they might get on an undercard or something, you know. So, yeah, it's always interesting, you know. You know, you got to watch all the fights, because, you know, one day you might have to come back to watch it. So why not do it when, you know, when the moment is current? But actually, a topic I want to talk about real quick, you know, when we still have some time left is, I don't know if you guys know, but Mikel Kessler's old promoter is now suing Showtime, like they've been threatening to, for taking Mikel Kessler away from them. They say they still got Kessler on the contract. They don't want him to go do this Super 6 tournament, but Showtime said, don't worry about it, let's do it. And now Mikael Kessler is with Sauerland Promotions in Germany, and obviously he's going through with the fight, and now his own promoter is going through with the lawsuit. And also, you know, the tournament, it just seems like there's a lot of stuff around it. I mean, you got these questionable decisions that people are arguing over, like the one with the Fight the Rail fight. You got a guy who's possibly going to have to pull out in Jermaine Taylor, and it seems like the seams are coming apart just a little bit here. You know, it's that threat of things just derailing the whole thing before it gets underway, before we get to the meat of things. You know, Strikehearts, what do you think?
I think that if that was to all take place and this tournament doesn't come off very well, I mean, it doesn't have to come off perfect, but this is very important for the future of the sport. If this is successful, then I would guess we could expect to see something similar to this in just about every weight class, not only on Showtime, but HBO as well. They've been going back and forth for a long time, tit for tat. You see Fightcam 360 come out because of the 24/7 popularity. So if this thing is popular, then I think we'll all be treated to something similar in every weight class. If it's not successful, that can only be another black eye for boxing and a bad thing for boxing's future. So I don't even really want to entertain that. I'm hoping that things being this late in the game that Kessler will be able to go through his fight. It's kind of late to pull that out at the last minute and sue him. I know he had spent a lot of time trying to get away from that contract in the first place. So I'm sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. I'd be surprised if it was another case there.
You know what I'm concerned about right now, and I wasn't too worried about this before the tournament actually started because I was just so hyped up and I'm so excited, looking forward to the fights. The fact that these fights are not on neutral ground. Like, they're going back and forth between each guy's hometowns, right? We just had the U.S. guys go to Europe, and then Kessler's going to have to come to War's hometown. And it seems like, you know, even though they're trying to do this revolutionary thing in boxing, that they left it just enough bit of politics of boxing in there to threaten the whole thing and to possibly derail it, because you're talking about hometown decisions. You know, what if hometown decision controversy does come up? What if the fights are close and it turns out, you know, decisions is what got some of these guys to the semifinals and the finals, and then people might say, well, you know, this guy was just robbed, and then these are not the legit semifinalists, things like that. Chris, what do you think about all this?
Actually, I brought this up on last Friday's show at the very end of the show. You know, Darrell, he manned up, you know, I think I said it yesterday, he manned up even though he thought he kind of got the short end of the stick. But you never know, man. I mean, with these guys going overseas and other people's hometowns and whatnot, you know, maybe Kessler is going to get jobbed against Andre Ward in Oakland. We don't know until we see the fight. You know, but I could see a fighter getting a bad decision and saying, why would I want to continue on? But then again, the pairings are already set up, so you kind of know what you're getting yourself into, especially if you've been around in the sport long enough. You kind of know what risks you're taking, the promoters as well as the fighters. So, you know, I'm just going to be optimistic and hope everything works out the way it's supposed to. The only thing so far I think possibly going wrong in this tournament, at least for himself personally, is I don't know if I see Taylor making it all the way through just based on the way he ended the last fight, you know. But other than that, I think everything's going to be smooth sailing. I just think all this other stuff's just, you know, just something to talk about between the fights, but nothing too serious.
Blood, what do you think about this idea, man? The fact that the fights are in each fighter's hometowns, back and forth, a bit of tug and, you know, tug of war. You think it's just something we have to live with because fights still have to make money sense, tournament or not?
I think it's great that the fights are in the fighters' hometowns. I don't think it's good that the judges in boxing are making bad decisions. You know, it goes back to the judges, man. You know, but that's something we've been living with, you know, as long as we can remember in this sport, is bad decisions. You know, the fight between Darrell and Frotch, really, in all honesty, it was a pretty close fight. Could have went either way. But I think that they should hold the fights in the fighters' hometowns. I actually like that part of the whole tournament. I don't really like the point system too much. I think it should have been an elimination tournament.
Hmm. It is what it is. I mean,
real quick, I don't agree with that, but you know, I was talking to David briefly after the show last night. I kind of want to hear your thoughts, but I don't know necessarily about the point system. I understand why they made it that way, but I'm glad it's not an elimination tournament because we're guaranteed, you know, to see all these guys in, you know, nine fights, I believe it is, where if it was an elimination tournament, we probably wouldn't get a lot of these fights, you know,
right.
Just based on
what
the guy loses,
that point.
Might not get a shot. So I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on that real quick.
Yeah, I agree with you just because, you know, it leads back to arguments like this guy beat that guy, but could he beat this? We'll get the whole picture. Everybody's fighting everybody. So there won't be open questions as to who could have beat who because they got
eliminated. It's because of what happened to Jermaine Taylor. You know, there's going to be a weak link, and I just don't, I don't really see where I think it should be an elimination tournament. That's just my opinion on it. I disagree with y'all on that. So
that,
no matter what y'all say, it just don't sound good to me.
I can handle that, but I actually like the way that they laid out the tournament. I thought it was a mistake to put Jermaine Taylor in the tournament in the first place. Especially, it seemed kind of silly because he had already been beaten by another guy that was going to be in the tournament. So that was a little bit silly in the first place. But beyond that, I didn't really have a problem with the tournament. Well, I had a small problem with Darrell just because I felt like maybe at the time he didn't deserve to be there, but he proved that he deserves to be there. I don't really have a problem with that anymore. So
we got a few minutes left. Let's go to the switchboard real quick because I think we have Josh Ashy Knuckles back with us. Josh, man, you got anything to say about what we're talking about real quick?
No, man, I was just listening to y'all chop it up about boxing. That's about it. I think I chimed in enough for a night. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got a real good show. Y'all got the best show out there right now, so... You know what I'm saying? Do your thing. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think about the point system and all that, since that's what we're talking about?
Oh, well, I kind of agree with Chris on that because we get a full aspect of who those guys can beat, who they can't beat, because, as you said before, you know, they face everybody. So I think that's a good thing. And the closest thing we had to the Super 6 tournament in the past is when, you know, Don King had a grip on the heavyweight division. He had basically all the champions except the Klitschko's, and the Klitschko's really didn't want to participate in Don King's tournament, so we really never got the true heavyweight champion of the world at that time. That's back when, you know, Galata was fighting Ruiz and Chris Bird in a fight. I thought he beat Chris Bird, and, you know, those series of fights that was going on. But if everybody could take notes of the way the promoters got together with Ken Hirschman of Showtime and sit down and iron out all the kinks in the contracts and the paperwork and make Super 6 tournaments in all the divisions, man, what a sport boxing would be in the future, you know?
I think in a way Showtime is doing that thing where they're taking a chance. You know, they know that this format, there's a lot of things that can go wrong with it, but they're taking that chance, you know, because if it is successful and it, you know, ends up being good, a good tournament, good fights, good turnout, you know, a finalist we can all be happy with, then it's going to be a huge success for boxing, and then we can see this over and over again, where if they try to water it down a little bit too much, try to play it safe, then it won't have the impact that it has now.
Okay, well, let's just say Jermaine Taylor can't continue. Then where do we go from here? Well, what's next?
There's a lot of people you could replace him with. I mean, I wouldn't even be upset with, like, a
Sacco. But is this something they planned, though? Was this in the planning, the replacement?
Not that we've all heard before, but, I mean, I'm sure if they're put in a spot where they need one, they'll be able to find.
There's a lot of things wrong with the way they did. Maybe there's another way they could come up with these guys and getting to see them fight each other, getting to see the winners fight each other. But I just think the way they did it was just badly planned. And no matter what no one says, I mean, I could probably think of a million reasons. Maybe I'll do a video on it or something. But,
well,
you know, I have to really sit down and think about it, though.
One thing you might have to consider, though, too, is, and we got a little glimpse of it with the Fight Camp 360, was that, you know, we had all these promoters sitting in the same room, and they all had to agree to something. So the fact that we even got anything out of that situation is kind of mind-boggling, really, that those guys would all sit down and agree to something. For the next 2 years.
Hey, we're blessed to get a tournament of any kind with the way boxing is right now. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we might have a fighter who might have to pull out of the tournament, you know, and It's going to be interesting to see what happens next.
I wouldn't mind seeing Saki Obika being put in. I mean, he did give Joe Calzaghe a real good fight. And basically
Absolutely.
Everybody he's been in the ring with, he is, you know, gave him the business or gave him a real tough fight. You know, that would have been a real good choice.
I think I agree with that. But maybe Alan Green, too.
Alan Green, you know, but, you know, I kind of understand where Goosen was coming from when he's lobbying for Miranda because he did beat Alan Green. So, but, you know, still and so, Miranda needs a couple of wins under his belt before he can even consider fighting any elite fighter. So,
right.
You know, Alan Green probably should be the best choice if you don't go with Bute or Andrade, who has unfinished business themselves. So, looks like
well,
all fingers are going to be pointing at Alan Green in case Jermaine Taylor doesn't continue on in the tournament.
Right. Yeah, apparently Bute is hard to make contracts with, too. So, that could have something to do with it as well.
Absolutely. I heard he ain't even
any last thoughts, man?
Who, me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got a last thought. Not on that. I just want to, in case that people don't know, I know Blood will probably be interested. If he doesn't know about it, he probably does, though. But Tuesday on ESPN, I think in the afternoon around 5, whatever time that is where you all stay, there's a little one-hour movie-type deal on the Larry Holmes-Muhammad Ali fight. I don't know if it's kind of a – I don't know if it's – the promo was it for – I saw something was like, what if I told you Ali wasn't the greatest? And I saw Holmes on ESPN yesterday morning talking about it, you know, saying he still doesn't get credit for that fight. So it seems like he's going to be kind of trying to make a case for himself. But either way, it should make for good television. That's one of the fights that doesn't get talked about a lot just because, you know, where they were at their careers at that point. But I'm interested in seeing, you know, what they got to say about it. And,
yeah, there's no argument. There's no real argument there. I mean, he fought Ali when he was already in the pre-stages of his Parkinson's, and he was way past his prime.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So that will be interesting, though. That will be an interesting show.
But that's all I got, man. Just watch the fights tonight. Well, I will.
Absolutely, guys. Well, I mean, it is that time of night, so, you know, we're going to wrap this thing up. We want to give a shout-out to our boy Arturo over at our partner site, istandandfight.com, our PRs, Red and Jesse Regan, all our hosts, Blood, Strikers, Chris, Josh, Ashley Knuckles, thank you for calling in.
No
this
doubt.
Is David Chen. This is Leaving in the Ring radio show. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Peace out.
Enjoy show, Bob, fellas.
Leaving in the Ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, David Chen.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing, not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or